Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. Join me every afternoon, 3 to 6, right here on KRXA 540. With great guests, hot topics, and a little humor, we help you navigate in today's world. More information, web streaming, and archives at peterbcollins.com. The Peter B. Collins Show, afternoons 3 to 6 on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid says there may be a vote tonight on one of the proposals there for an auto industry bailout. Republicans don't seem nearly as afraid of Chapter 11 for GM and Chrysler as Democrats are.
Republicans suggest a more reasonable course is to let the car companies file for bankruptcy protection from their debts so they'll have time to reorganize with a federal judge in charge. The Republican leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, says the bill the House passed is too feeble.
A primary weakness relates to the so-called car czar, who has nearly unlimited power to allocate taxpayer dollars, but limited ability to force the kind of tough concessions that long-term viability would require.
The Republicans say, why waste billions on companies that won't survive? Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Investigators are working hard to determine if they have found the remains of 3-year-old Kaylee Anthony, missing now for 6 months in Florida.
With TV choppers hovering overhead, a white van took away the remains from a wooded area.
And they've been taken by to the medical examiner's office by the medical examiner.
Orange County Sheriff Kevin Berry says they'll go to the FBI lab in Quantico, Virginia for analysis and identification. He says his investigators will be looking for evidence at the house where Kaylee's grandparents live and where she and her mother often stayed. Even with no body, Casey Anthony has been charged with first-degree murder and has pled not guilty to killing her daughter. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
President-elect Barack Obama wants it clearly understood.
What I'm absolutely certain about is that our office had no involvement in any deal-making around my Senate seat.
His reference to Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich's alleged attempts to auction off his appointment to fill Mr. Obama's unexpired term. Today's news conference by the president-elect was initially called to name his selection for health secretary, the former leader of Democrats in the Senate, Tom Daschle. With the holidays, airline traffic will be lighter, but that doesn't mean you'll have elbow room in the plane. Dave Castlevetter at the Air Transport Association.
We're going to see airplanes at capacity or near capacity on many days over the 21-day holiday period, but we will see about 9% fewer people flying over the course of that holiday.
Snow in New Orleans and 8 inches of it, 75 miles northwest of the Big Easy.
People were pouring out of office buildings here in downtown New Orleans.
It's great. It's fun.
They're making little snowmen and having snowball fights.
That's why everybody's a kid when this happens.
The National Weather Service says this is the earliest in the season it's ever snowed here in New Orleans.
I'm getting ready to go make a snowball and throw it at that girl.
Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
Bank of America has announced plans to eliminate 30 to 35,000 jobs over the next 3 years, and yes, Merrill Lynch will be affected. Wall Street, the Dow lost 196 points today. This is CBS News.
When it comes to working around the house, never underestimate the value of getting it done right the first time. At your local Ace Hardware, our associates are always ready with expert tips on the smartest ways to get the results you're looking for. We'll give you simple, straightforward advice that will help you save time and money. So the next time you're thinking about starting a project, consider the value of having everything you need just minutes away at your neighborhood Ace, the helpful place.
CNN tonight at 9 Eastern. From the network that brought you the award-winning Planet in Peril, the investigation continues. Planet in Peril, Battle Lines. Anderson Cooper.
Anderson Cooper off the coast of Cape Town, South Africa.
Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
I'm Dr. Sanjay Gupta, deep in the forest of Cameroon.
And Lisa Ling.
I'm Lisa Ling in Taiwan.
Take you to the front lines of the ultimate battles over our natural resources. A CNN worldwide investigation. Planet in Peril, Battle Lines. Tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern on CNN.
Teenagers like to get high, some of them anyway. Some like booze, some like pills. For some, it's pot. CBS's Cammie McCormick with the latest government report card.
Teenagers continue to drink and smoke less, but this study by the University of Michigan shows 1 in 10 seniors still smoke daily, and binge drinking is still a concern.
We do still see a large number of high school seniors drinking heavily.
And addiction psychiatrist Wilson Compton says there's another troubling trend.
Prescription drugs remain a major concern.
Nearly 10% of seniors reported using Vicodin, and almost 5% abused OxyContin. 7 of the top 10 drugs abused by 12th graders were prescribed or over-the-counter. Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
A Russian-American from Richboro, Pennsylvania is being held without bail on charges of running a child sex ring. Andrew Mogilyansky allegedly lured young teenage girls from a Russian orphanage into prostitution. Federal judge agreed he's rich enough to run and take his family with him. He'll stay in jail. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hi, I'm Peyton Manning. I'm still trying to top the Gear Up with Sony HD sales event by giving away some of my gear. Hey, buddy.
Yeah?
Old socks for you, maybe?
No.
You could use a used undershirt, couldn't you?
I think I'm going to pass on that.
Oh, come on now.
Have a good game.
Well, seems like Gear Up with Sony HD is still the best thing going. Get a great deal when you buy a Sony Bravia HD TV, Blu-ray disc player, and home theater system. Now, who wants these sweaty wristbands? Any takers? Anyone?
Absolutely not.
Now through December 13th, save $500 when you purchase a qualifying 40 or 46-inch diagonal Sony Bravia HD TV, a select Sony Blu-ray disc player, and a matching Sony HTSS2300 component home theater system together. Whether you're watching the game or a movie, experience it in full HD picture and cinema quality sound. To learn how you can save up to $500 on a Sony Bravia HD TV home theater package, visit a participating Sony dealer or sony.com/HDNA.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Coast to coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Great to have you listening in California, Oregon, Washington, Montana, and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. We're bouncing all over the satellites. We got lots to talk about, great people to talk with, and you can join this conversation toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Still offering free DVDs of the documentary about the Florida election in 2000 called Murder, Spies, and Voting Lies, something like that. I'll be happy to pass it along to you if you call in and get on the air from New England today. Again, my number is 888-5-PETER-B. Faz Shakir will join us in just a moment. He's at the Center for American Progress. We'll talk about things going on in Washington today. Tyson Slocum from Public Citizen will be with us later this hour to talk about a couple of angles on the rescue package for Detroit, including safety, automobile safety. That's something we haven't heard anything really discussed about in the current context. Next hour, our regular weekly hour with Scott Dick on military and veterans issues. He's jazzed that General Shinseki has been named by Barack Obama to head the Veterans Administration. And he's not so jazzed that Bob Gates has announced today that 20,000 more American troops will be going to Afghanistan between now and the spring. Lots of other military and veterans issues to talk about with Scott. And in the Free Speed Zone today, well, we're going to take your phone calls. We'll get a news update from R.J. Schulman and also a film review of the new movie opening this weekend, Frost Nixon. It's funny, I wrote it down as Nixon Frost, but it's called Frost Nixon, about the British reporter David Frost and his pay-to-play interview with Richard Nixon after Nixon had left office in disgrace. So that's all ahead today on the Peter B. Collins Show. I just want to start off with two denials. I am not candidate 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. And the B does not stand for Blagojevich. I did spend time in Chicago, and I have a lot of friends of Serbian and Slavic and Polish extraction. But the B does not stand for Blagojevich. I just wanted to clear that up. Faz Shakir is co-editor of the Daily Progress Report and research director at the Center for American Progress in Washington. Hello, Faz.
Hey, Peter B., how are you doing?
Better than Rod Blagojevich.
Yeah, we all are.
And Mrs. Blagojevich is getting a lot of attention, too. She's quite a character.
Yeah, Lady Macbeth is the new tag for Mrs. Blagojevich, unfortunately.
Now, you know, if Rod had just been a little more high-tech, he would have put it up on eBay, and none of this ever would have happened.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I don't know if you saw this, but the day after his, or I think the afternoon after his indictment, somebody had put up, as a joke, an eBay listing for Obama's Senate seat starting at 99 cents. I'm not sure exactly how fast it rose, but it was a clever idea.
Well, you never know what the reserve price is on something.
Exactly.
Well, Faz, there certainly is a lot going on, and a lot of focus on the United States Senate today, because last night the House passed the package for Detroit. I've been urged by my pro-UAW friends not to call it a bailout. It's a bridge loan, a rescue package, however you'd like to describe it. But it seems like this is now breaking down to a very partisan issue. And Republicans from right-to-work states, that's where you don't have unions because the law is basically prevented, right-to-work states with foreign automotive manufacturers, like Shelby with, I believe, Honda, Mercedes, and Toyota plants in his state, and Mitch McConnell with foreign non-union automakers in Kentucky. And this is really boiling down to let's bust the UAW party in the United States Senate.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And in fact, a lot of these conservative senators, Mitch McConnell, a host of others, are floating an alternative bill. And we took a look at this on the Wonkroom, wonkroom.org, and Jim DeMint, I think, is actually leading it. And there's four provisions in this alternative bill. Two of them have already been proposed by the UAW, which are to reduce health care obligations and also to eliminate this jobs banks program. But then there's two others, the elimination of unemployment benefits, and another one says they're going to reduce wages to the level paid by non-big three manufacturers, i.e. the Toyota, Mercedes, all those.
Mm-hmm.
So those two provisions amount to union busting. Basically,
yeah.
they want to wreck the union-provided benefits that the big three workers are receiving currently, and they're disguising it as this alternative bill.
Now, does the package still call for any limits on executive compensation? Is this a tit for tat?
Well, you know, that I think that's still under consideration. I think that was the one thing that the White House was willing to deal on, and that, you know, these executive compensation ones are easiest in some degree of getting bipartisan comedy because it looks good for both sides to pass it, and it doesn't cost them a lot to be looking tough on the CEOs, but ultimately it gets down to the details about whether they're going to actually provide any punitive measures for those companies that might give out huge bonuses. And that's where I think the process ultimately breaks down, that there aren't really many punitive measures.
Now, on the Jumbotron that you have there at the Progress Report newsroom, what is your current projected vote tally in the Senate for the package as it stands?
Well, you know, we've been trying to monitor this all day, and Harry Reid saying that he's going to try to push a variety of measures, and he's saying that he's going to try to push four different things tonight and tomorrow. But if those all fail, he's going to, on Friday, make one big effort to pass it in. If it's blocked, he's just going to throw in the towel. It looks like it doesn't look good right now because they're going to need 60 votes. And it doesn't look like they're able to peel off many conservatives at this point, unless, you know, barring some change of heart. And, you know, Dick Cheney and Josh Bolton went over and talked to the conservative senators yesterday, and according to Bob Corker, a Republican from Tennessee, he did more harm than good. That he came out of that meeting, the Republicans who came out of that meeting said, well, that didn't help us at all, and those of us who were supportive are now less supportive.
Yeah, Cheney's a real persuader.
Shocking. Finally, after 8 years, I guess they're starting to get the fact that the things that they're told from the administration, they shouldn't really believe it. Well, it would be nice if they had learned that lesson earlier, but it's not that they have to listen to the White House, though, in this case. They just need to listen to the workers of the big three who are really the ones who stand to lose the most here.
Yeah. And Faz, has anybody in these debates tried to separate the issues here? Because I believe that, it's very clear that Ford Motor is in much better health than its two Detroit-based competitors. But I think it's important to point out how different Chrysler is from General Motors. It's a private company owned by speculators. Some of the wealthiest individuals in the United States bought into Cerberus, which took it off the hands of Daimler a year and a half ago. And I don't have much sympathy for the owners of Chrysler. My bottom line is that I want to protect the workers, and that if bankruptcy of General Motors, for instance, is inevitable, then I really think we should be looking at Plan B here and how to protect the workers, both the UAW members and the non-union workers in the parts pipeline, and really take a look at the impact on states like Michigan and Ohio. Because if things do go south in a hurry between now and late January, my concern, again, is for the states and for the people who work for these car companies, not the owners and executives.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you on the point that the big three aren't actually lumped in all together. Chrysler has really, they've bought an 80% stake with borrowed money, and they're in a really, really horrible position compared to the other two. I mean, GM's a little bit worse off as well, but, and as you mentioned, Ford's okay. But one of the weird things about this whole process is nobody's really made those distinctions and challenged each of these companies on their own terms to say, why do you need this $7 or $8 billion, and what are you going to do with it that will be different from? And it looks like to me that Ford is basically going along for the ride, saying, well, if there's going to be money doled out here,
me too.
We'll take some. We'll take some and you know, play this game and show a united front. But yeah, you're absolutely right to put your finger on this, and there hasn't been a lot of talk. The big three have appeared before Congress a number of times, and there hasn't been really much attention given the fact that the plight of these three companies is quite different.
Yeah. And Faz, I still maintain, and it may sound like a broken record to some of my listeners, but this whole approach has been backwards. It's misframed. I believe that when Detroit first came and didn't have a plan, instead of asking them to come back with a plan, the Congress should have said, come back in 2 weeks, we'll have a plan for you.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
The plan should be that the government is going to order tens of thousands of units from these automakers according to our specifications. And the mileage standards have to be X. We want a certain percentage of hybrids or plug-in hybrids. We want General Motors to bring back the electric car that it killed in a moment where profit took precedence over innovation. And I think if we laid out those markers and induced the companies to behave the way we want, that we would get much further, and we would preserve manufacturing and preserve most, if not all, of the jobs that are left in automaking in this country.
Yeah, it was really disappointing for me to hear this week GM's Vice Chairman Bob Lutz, who said that global warming is a crock of F. He said again this week that the American public wants sports utilities and large pickup trucks. He's learned absolutely nothing, and if given the opportunity to pursue their faulty business model, they're going to continue to do that. Wagner and Lutz at GM are going to continue to push trucks. If you watched the football games this Sunday, all you saw were commercials for Ford F-150s and these big old trucks.
Don't forget the Hummer's on a red tag sale. You can get an H2 for $28,000, fans.
Yeah.
Your mileage will be really, really low.
That's right. So, yeah, I mean, the management really needs to change, and that's one of the things I really, really, really hope that happens here. And Lutz is one of the first, I think, that needs to go.
Yeah. Now, one of my buddies has nominated Steve Jobs, either for the car czar or for chairman of General Motors. What do you think of that?
Mitt Romney?
No, Steve Jobs.
The only name that I've heard in right-wing circles is Mitt Romney. Yeah, so my mind has always been trained there. But yeah, Steve Jobs would be a really interesting one. I mean, he's got the innovative spirit and probably the right kind of out-of-the-box approach. I've thought that the people who were involved in the Tesla enterprise were pretty interesting and innovative, although they created a car that basically nobody can buy because it's so expensive. but you know, that's the kind of the Silicon Valley kind of entrepreneurial spirit, I think, is what we need, and also that California understanding of environmental impact is also lacking.
We're going to take a break, return with Faz Shakir, talk about the latest nominations announced by President-elect Obama today on health care and the environment. That's all straight ahead. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, the holiday season. Poinsettias, holiday bouquets, centerpieces, garland, the scent of pine and spruce. Beautiful. Nothing gets a body and the spirit more than getting flowers, unless it's giving them. Just ask the floral experts at Ferrari Florists and Gifts. Every year, we're as busy as elves helping people send their happiest wishes to friends, family, and colleagues. Everybody loves a gift of flowers. We sure can work some holiday magic to spruce up your home, too.
'Tis the season to send flowers and warm hearts for the holidays. Call Ferrari Florist and Gifts at 831-460-7000. Visit our website at www.ferrariflorist.com or stop by our shop at 514 Front Street, Santa Cruz. Ferrari Florist and Gifts, experts in the art of expression.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Space, the final frontier. Knowing the truth, the ultimate frontier. Quantum Leap and KRXA 540. think for yourself.
Three in motion. That's a stretch. We're talking with Faz Shakir. He's the research director at the Center for American Progress and co-edits their daily progress report. You can get it free in your email. Just log on to progressreport.org. And science. It's back. That's the lead story in Thursday's Progress Report, a return to science. And Faz, this is long overdue. The Bush administration routinely allowed politics to trump science. It silenced the NASA administrator who wanted to speak out on climate change, that's Hansen. And many others had their reports and their speeches edited by very junior people at the White House to remove things that were not part of the Bush agenda. And so it's refreshing to see that the energy/environment team that Obama has announced includes Dr. Stephen Chu from here in California, the Lawrence Livermore Laboratory, and he will be the Secretary of Energy. Carol Browner, as a recycled Clintonian, she'll head the new National Energy Council. And Lisa Jackson, who hails from New Jersey, will be Administrator of the EPA. What do you make of these picks? Faz? We lost Faz there. Nick, you want to see if we can get him back? I don't know what happened, but this is an interesting development here that the Obama administration really is embracing science and putting technocrats like Dr. Stephen Chu in charge instead of a political person like O. Spencer Abraham, who was an energy secretary for the Bush administration. So this truly is progress, and I'm glad to see it. There were some ugly possibilities, including a guy named Bryson from here in California, who is a pro-nuclear energy guy who came out of Southern California Edison. And so the selection of Stephen Chu over Bryson is something that I think will please a lot of environmentalists. Faz, we got you back here, and I just wanted to ask you about this environmental team of Browner, Chu, and Jackson. Jackson is the one I don't know anything about. She's from New Jersey, right?
Yes, she is. You know, just to recap on all of the appointments, I think one of our experts here, Dan Weiss, had a really good quote. He said, after the anti-science Bush administration, this is like going to a Mensa meeting after 8 years of being trapped in the Flat Earth Society. I think, you know, yeah. We've been through 8 years now of people who've been, as you said, doctoring reports and but trying to suppress science in favor of pushing the special interest agenda of coal and utility companies. So it's nice to see that Obama's basically turning the page and basically starting with a blank slate and not carrying over really much of anything. Stephen Chu, as you were, I think, talking about, is really novel. I mean, first, I think, Nobel laureate to be appointed to a cabinet position, and mm-hmm. he comes with a tremendous pedigree and background. And Lisa Jackson's the one we know the least about. She was in charge of the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, and they've got really a tough situation too with up there, lots of Superfund sites and environmental degradation of all kinds of things. And so she had a tough deal to work with to begin with. And so she came under some criticism from some mm-hmm. enviros for not having done a great job of cleaning up. But other people you talk to say that she was pioneering alternative energy projects. And we talked to Governor Corzine this week, who told us, you know, she pushed very fiercely on a lot of this and came into resistance through the bureaucracy. But her heart's in the right place, and she's always pushing for the progressive energy agenda. So we'll have to see more from her. And I think that anybody's going to be better than Stephen Johnson, who's the current head. He's what we call the Alberto Gonzalez of climate.
Yeah, indeed. Now, Faz, just a minute remaining. Two of your colleagues there from the Center for American Progress were affirmed by President-elect Obama, Tom Daschle to be Secretary of Health and Human Services and to also chair the White House Health Care Reform Committee, and another person from the Center for American Progress, Jean Lambrew, co-author of the book that Daschle published earlier this year. Tell us a little about her. This is the first I've learned of her.
Well, Jean's fantastic, really wonderful person to work with, really knowledgeable. She's been a professor down at the LBJ School down in Texas and teaching seminars on healthcare in addition to being a senior fellow here. In the Clinton administration, she was one of the leading advocates of the Children's Health Insurance Program. She was the one who pushed it through the bureaucracy. She he was at the Office of Management and Budget at the end, dealing with the healthcare budget and expanding it to include children. So she's, her heart's always in the right place. She's always got the right brains to put it together, and now she's got the knowledge of the bureaucracy, I think, to be a really effective advocate. So they created a new office, the Office of White House, the White House Office of Health Reform, a new office that's going to push for hopefully universal coverage. And that's what I think the appointment of Gene suggests, is that we've got a really good advocate. And we saw Melody Barnes before, Neera Tanden, a couple of other other names that people will learn who are all great advocates for universal health care.
Well, Faz, thank you for your update. We'll talk to you again next week. That's Faz Shakir at the Center for American Progress.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Home Medics. Get the perfect holiday gift for this season. Affordable luxuries they'll enjoy all year round. Home Medics heated shiatsu massagers starting as low as $49.99 at retailers nationwide. I'm Charles Osgood. Has the Treasury Department done a good job of administering the emergency fund of $700 billion Congress authorized for TARP, the Troubled Asset Relief Program? Has there been accountability? Has it been transparent? Some in Congress don't think so. Mel Watt, Democrat of North Carolina, for one.
Nobody is accounting to anybody for it. The perception is that there's something sinister going on here.
Jenny Brown Waite, Republican of Florida, for another.
With this lack of oversight, clearly we have been sold a pig and a poke, and a bait and switch has occurred. That's not fair to the taxpayers who are funding this massive bailout.
And in the hot seat was Neel Kashkari, head of the Treasury Office, overseeing the program.
The system is fundamentally more stable than it was when Congress passed the legislation.
More after this. Let me tell you about something new that I now have, the latest wonderful Home Medic Shiatsu massaging back cushion with heat. It's the Shiatsu One. And it is great, let me tell you. It has both back and shoulder massagers that feel like a professional masseur with four hands. No appointment needed, though, and no big pricey massaging chair either. You can use it with any chair in the house. I sure do look forward to using mine at the end of a stressful day. If there's any gift more perfect to get or to give this season than the Shiatsu One, I sure haven't seen it. The Home Medic Shiatsu massaging back cushion is truly state-of-the-art. So good that the SBM has earned the Good Housekeeping Seal. You deserve one, and so does somebody you care about. Home Medics, the leaders in massage innovation. Available at retailers everywhere or at homemedics.com. A lot of the money Congress authorized hasn't been used at all yet. And the part that has been used has been put in the hands of financial institutions and apparently used in some cases to buy T-bills or for other internal purposes. Maxine Waters and David Scott, like the other House members you're hearing, are members of the Oversight Panel for Economic Stabilization, and they're not happy.
Foreclosures continue to rise, and we sit here twiddling our thumbs, trusting Treasury to do what they said they were going to do.
What we've got here, quite honestly, is one big mess. That's exactly what we have.
Mr. Kashkari.
We did not allow the financial system to collapse. There are indicators of the credit crisis softening, some confidence returning. It's going to take time.
People are asking me, is Goldman Sachs running this country?
As long as confidence remains low, banks will remain cautious about extending credit, and consumers and businesses will remain cautious about taking on new loans themselves. As confidence returns, we expect to see more credit extended.
It is fair to say the committee was not impressed. The Osgood File, Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Not your detective.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. What do you think about a rescue package for Detroit? And what do you think about Republicans who clearly want to bust the auto workers? I'd like to hear from you this half hour. 888-5 Peter B. is my toll-free number.
Here in my car, I have to say this of all. I can lock all my doors. It's the only way to live in cars. Here in my car, I can love everything. I can listen to you. It's a staple for a night in cars.
That's a semi-obscure new wave artist from the 80s, Gary Numan, N-U-M-A-N is how he spelled it. And he once performed with the Tubeway Army. I don't know if this song was concocted with or without the Tubeway Army's help. And I want to get your thoughts about the current state of assistance for Detroit. As you know, I've argued as recently as 15 minutes ago that the approach Washington is taking is backwards. And now we have it breaking down under political lines, and it's just bizarre. You have the prospect of the White House colluding with Democratic leaders to put together a package that is going to use taxpayer dollars to keep companies alive as they lay off more workers and shut down more plants. And I just find that difficult to swallow. Now, I do understand that the threat has been laid out there and that there is a risk to taking no action. The risk could be that the guys at General Motors are telling the truth. And they will not survive through the end of this year until further action could be taken with a new president and a new Congress. And so we live with that threat looming. And I leave it to you to tell me whether that threat is real, whether it's partly real and exaggerated, or whether it's something that is, you know, simply a false choice presented to the American people. And it's very difficult because we do have bailout fatigue. And it's also difficult to see these Republicans going to the wall to prevent Detroit from getting $14 or $15 billion when they just, you know, rolled over for the demands of the Treasury Secretary, Wall Street, and the banks. And so it is a complicated picture, but what it has boiled down to now, in my view, is that the Republicans see an opportunity here with the White House and Democrats desperate to pass this package to include union-busting elements in this legislation. And that is, that's a sorry state of affairs, and I don't think it makes anybody happy. Tyson Slocum joins us now. He's at Public Citizen on the web. Their website is citizen.org, and he heads up their energy program and also weighs in on a number of other issues regarding legislation in Washington. Tyson, welcome back to our program.
Hey, great to be here.
Well, it's good to talk with you. And your boss, Joan Claybrook, was on the program the other day. And would you please pass along to her my regrets that I did not notice on the website that she has resigned after many successful years as president of Public Citizen.
And 27 years.
Wow. Well, would you please give her my gratitude and tell her I'm sorry I failed to note that when she was on the program the other day.
I most certainly will pass that on. And thank you so much for mentioning it, because she's been a tremendous advocate for consumers in her nearly 30-year public interest career.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been honored to work with her for a decade.
And Tyson, let me back into this, because we've been talking a lot about the problems in Detroit and the wrangling on Capitol Hill over it.
Yeah.
And I'd like to back into this from your point of view. What is missing from this package. Joan Claybrook pointed out for the first time in all the discussions we've had about this when she was on the other day that safety is a critical issue. And that as we downsize cars in order to, enhance the mileage they get and reduce the emissions they produce, that we have to keep safety in mind as well. And she was the first person in all of the talking heads that I've heard over the last month about this who raised the safety issue.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a number of standards when it comes to safety, when it comes to very strong energy efficiency targets. We look at other types of marketing investments, whether or not they're going to keep marketing gas guzzlers, whether or not they're going to be investing this money domestically or internationally,
mm-hmm.
That haven't really been adequately addressed. I think everyone can acknowledge that the domestic industry needs to be viable if the United States is going to be successful in the future economically. We have to have some manufacturing base, particularly for automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
But to just write them a blank check, I think, would be a disaster, especially given the poor track record of the industry.
Well, I certainly agree. I also don't feel that there is any protection for the workforce, union or right. non-union, in this legislation, and as I mentioned as I was setting this up a couple of minutes ago, my concern is that we're going to see the lame duck Bush administration collude with the Democratic leadership on the Hill to override the objections of senators like Shelby and others. And we're going to jam through a package that empowers the current management to retain their jobs and shut down more plants and lay off more workers using our money.
Right.
And I just find that mind-boggling.
Right. And we've already seen that the industry and their proponents, like Senator Shelby and others, have been misleading on the labor costs of the U.S. industry, you know, saying, oh, on average, the American worker gets paid $73 an hour. And the New York Times recently did a breakdown showing why that was completely false. That was including legacy costs, not active workers.
And Tyson, the Times did a good job on that. I need to give credit to Eric Bullard at Media Matters because mm-hmm. he published the first piece called The Myth of the $73 an Hour Auto Worker 2 weeks ago. And
right.
And it was a very important set of commentary because of the way the media has been bandying around this $73 figure. And
right.
to me, the most important thing that was buried in the jump of the Times story is that no matter how you compare these apples and oranges of the legacy costs, the health care costs, and the hourly wages of auto workers in the union versus the non-union workers who are employed by foreign automakers in the United States, the bottom line that was overlooked is that in Detroit, you add up all of those labor costs, including the legacy costs, it's only 10% of the cost of a manufactured unit.
That's correct.
And that's the important piece here. The union is not the problem. The cost of labor is not the central problem confronting Detroit.
That is absolutely correct. And I see some of this as just a backdoor way to eviscerate the organized labor movement. And since when is securing a decent wage for employees a bad thing in the American economy? That's what helped make the United States the most formidable economic engine in the world. You'll note that the current economic crisis, which is, you know, absolutely the worst since the Great Depression, it might even be worse than the Great Depression itself, came in a time when labor rights have been eviscerated, when deregulation has been pushed as a national policy, when we've had tax policies and other policies protect the rich at the expense of working people. Working people have not had the upper hand in this economy, and to make them as a scapegoat for management decisions on pushing poor products, in this case cars that the American consumer no longer could afford to drive
mm-hmm.
because they were too expensive to fuel. That's the bottom line here. The industry looked at the same exact market trends that our Japanese and European competitors looked at, and whereas the Japanese and European automakers said, we are going to listen to the consumer, and we are going to give them excellent fuel-efficient vehicles. Detroit looked at those numbers and said, we're going to continue heavily marketing gas guzzlers. And it was a losing bet.
Well, and Tyson,
be, yeah.
Even after the 41% sales reduction that GM posted in November year-to-year, they turned around and decided that their marketing for December was the red tag sale on the Hummer. Now, I'm sorry. They make some fuel-efficient cars. I recently test-drove the Chevy Aveo. 1% of it's made in the United States, the rest in South Korea. But it's a GM product. It gets upwards of 34 miles to the gallon. And if they really want to sway the hearts and minds of the American people and our representatives in Washington, why the hell would they run a sale on Hummers at a time like this?
Exactly. You know, I'm the proud owner of a Ford Focus. It's a great car.
Yeah.
And so they do make cars that the American people could want, but they just haven't prioritized it. They haven't spent the marketing dollars on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the problem here.
Now, Tyson, if you'll indulge me for a moment, I've been working on this, and I want to give credit to many of my intelligent listeners who've helped me shape what we'll call the Collins Plan. And I haven't heard this discussed in Washington at all. But I see this whole package for Detroit as framed in a backward way. And the way I would reframe it is to say, Mr. Wagoner, I've got a deal for you. Instead of a loan, the United States government will place an order for $15 billion worth of automobiles, according to our specifications. And we want you to deliver by December 1st next year, X number of vehicles that are hybrid, X number that are gas-fueled but get more than 35 miles to the gallon, and we want the electric car that you killed 6 years ago back on the market. And if you do these things, you can keep your job. And we're going to essentially prime the pump to restart business at General Motors or Chrysler or all three if we need to. And we're going to do it not by a handout, but by, paraphrasing Jesus, teaching the man to fish.
You know, Peter, I think that's an excellent suggestion, that a government purchasing-led reform movement actually might be what the industry needs.
Because they're not going to voluntarily meet those benchmarks that I just cited. We're going to have to drag them kicking and screaming, and along the way, they will shaft more workers. That's the only measure they know. Sure, they've laid off some white-collar workers, too. But their main focus is going to be driving down their costs of production and downsizing their entire operation.
That's correct.
And so it's going to be status quo. It's going to be dinosaur thinking. And I believe the only way to build incentives to get them past this is to say, well, wait a minute. We'll order the vehicles that we want, and we'll show you how to do it.
Right. I think that's a great suggestion, Peter. And I hope some members of Congress are listening to the show right now, because I think you're giving some excellent advice, and I second it.
Well, we were scheduled to talk with Barney Frank yesterday, and I was itching to pass this along to him, but he had to manage the bill on the floor, and we hope to get him on the program in the next few days. I'll be happy to impart my wisdom to him at that time. Tyson, we need to take a break, and we'll continue in a moment. Tyson Slocum is our guest from Public Citizen. Again, their website is citizen.org, and they're active on a number of issues in Washington. Take a look and see what appeals to you. If you have a question or comment, you can call from your car, American-made or otherwise. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run.
I know how hard it is to get out and exercise this time of year. It's cold in the mornings and dark out by the time you get home from work. Hi, this is Adam over at Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz. Let us help you stay fit this winter. Check out our reflective gear and cool weather apparel. More importantly, join us for our weekly nighttime runs at the Lighthouse on Westcliff every Wednesday at 5:46 p.m. We'll have plenty of lights and reflective gear for you to borrow to stay safe. There's safety in numbers, so get out and run, walk, or jog with us. All abilities welcome. We'll see you at the Lighthouse.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz, or visit them online at centralcoastrunning.com.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Cruz. Come listen to the new Jennifer Cruz Show, Saturdays at noon, where we will get into it, I-N-T-U-I-T. We'll talk about intuition, emotions, and passions, all the invisible aspects of each and every one of us that nobody talks about. The Jennifer Cruz Show is made possible by Weiland Galleries in Carmel and Water Me Well Inner Healing Apparel. Visit watermewell.com. See you Saturdays at noon on the new Jennifer Cruz Show. Remember, Saturdays at noon, only on AM 540. Get into it.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
There's more than one side to contemporary affairs. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights at 10, listen in on KRXA 540, and you'll hear at least four. You'll hear the perspectives of Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours, and we'll start at 9 in the evening and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
Wine Company, log on to their website at ecowine.com. And I want to thank many people who've supported the Peter B. Collins Show during these tough times. If you'd like to assist, you can help. Just go to my website, peterbcollins.com, and there's a tab there that says you can help. Check it out. We've got a free gift to reward people who support the program. That's at peterbcollins.com. You can help. Tyson Slocum with us here on the PBC show. He's with Public Citizen based in Washington. And Tyson, the other aspect of this is there was a plan originally to have a car czar and then the various cabinet secretaries who have anything to do with manufacturing and energy would be part of a review panel and oversight board for the companies that take the loan package. That's been trimmed back to just a car czar, and I'm a little uncomfortable with czars to begin with. And
as am I. I don't really like the term.
Yeah. And the other piece of this is that the Bush administration at least has some role in selecting this car czar. So he or she is likely to have union-busting tendencies if they muster approval from Bush and Cheney. So this really seems to be a very wobbly set of proposals. And I hold my nose and say, well, I don't want the worst to happen here. But I still have doubts that we haven't been presented with a couple of false choices. And, you know, I feel the removal of my wallet from my back pocket.
Yeah, I almost, you know, think that maybe we need just a much smaller scale short-term type of financial assistance to the industry to tide us over until we have a President Obama negotiating with Congress on this. I think that the American people will be able to negotiate a much better deal for all parties involved if we've got an Obama administration as a lead negotiator. You know, there's been now various independent analyses of the Bush administration's handling of the Wall Street bailout, and all have concluded that it's been a complete disaster, that the American people have not been well served. George Bush has totally checked out. He's talking about his presidency in the past tense and has forgotten that there are still massive, awesome responsibilities.
And Elizabeth Warren,
people need him to pay attention to, and he's not. Instead, he's spent a lot of time planning the purchase of a very expensive home down in Dallas.
Yeah. Well, and Elizabeth Warren, who heads the Wall Street bailout oversight team, was on Rachel Maddow's show last night, saying that she's still trying to find out what the mission is of the bailout. How can she evaluate whether it's met its goals when she can't even determine or discern exactly what those goals are?
Right. And I think that's why the American people are really have so much expectations for Obama. And there have been some criticism of the selections that Obama's made with his economic team, saying that they're too centrist. But overall, I think that that his decision making on the team that he's assembled thus far, comprehensively, has been very good. His picks last night for energy, I can't applaud more. Steve Chu, to be Secretary of Energy, you talk about a talented guy. The guy won a Nobel Prize in physics.
Mm-hmm.
He's smart. He knows how to run an agency, and he understands what it takes for America to become a leader in combating climate change and providing clean, affordable energy to all Americans. We've got Lisa Jackson, who's going to be the first African-American administrator of the EPA. She's got a great reputation in New Jersey. Environmentalists and folks in industry both say that she treats everybody fairly. And that's the kind of leaders that we need running agencies in these very difficult times. We've got a lot of challenges. The automobile industry is hurting. Main Street is hurting, and I'm confident so far in the types of smart people that are relatively free of ideology that Barack Obama is surrounding himself more. These people are more motivated not to prove that their ideology is going to work. They're out to make sure that government is actually working on behalf of people and not against them.
Well, I agree with your comments, particularly as you apply them to the energy team here of Chu, Jackson, and Browner.
Right.
I'm in wait-and-see mode on the economic team, and I'm still not on board on holding over Gates. And now we have, we're going to talk about this next hour. It's not quite in your zone, but Sylvester Reyes is suggesting that the president keep the spooks on board at the CIA and the new Uber czar there. And that's just another czar I don't need. So, you know, it's mixed, but I do agree with you that the one thing we're seeing is that Obama is not insecure. He is not surrounding himself with lessers. He is surrounding himself with people who are as smart, if not on their subject areas, smarter than he is. And that says a lot.
They're not all yes men. These are not people that are just going to tell Obama what he wants to hear. These are people that have a diverse set of opinions. And I think this is going to be reminiscent of a Kennedy type of cabinet meeting where you're going to have a robust discussion among highly smart, accomplished people, all with the goal of producing the best results for the American people. And, you know, there's a lot of big challenges here on energy policy, on domestic manufacturing. I'm not happy with the progress of the current scope of what we're talking about in terms of the automobile bailout. I think we might have to wait until we have a President Obama before we get a deal that's going to hold management accountable and ensure that the industry is going to be financially competitive with our foreign automakers.
You know, the other thing I want to see, Tyson, is some skins in the game, because so far these bailouts have been 100% taxpayer. And if the fat cats who run Cerebras, which owns Chrysler, if they ponied up half of the money they're asking for, or they arranged a payday loan from Singapore or something, I'd be much more inclined to meet them halfway. But with these handouts for bailouts where there's no private money involved, I find it very difficult to counsel that. And again, I hate the idea that we're going to give them money so they can lay off more workers and shut down more plants. It just drives me bugging.
I agree, or at least I'd like to see them put up for collateral their second house in the Hamptons or Paris or whatever, their yacht, their Bentleys in their garage. I mean, I would like to see them put, you know, it's one thing to say, okay, I'll work for a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're sitting on $20 million in assets, that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I'd like to see these executives put up some of their own personal collateral to say, look, this is how invested I am.
Yep.
This is how meaningful I think it is that the American people are going to be investing in my company.
Tyson
That's
Slocum.
The commitment we need to see.
I got to go. Thank you very much, Tyson.
All right, Peter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
There's more than one side to contemporary affairs. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights at 10, listen in on KRXA 540, and you'll hear at least four. You'll hear the perspectives of Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours, and we'll start at 9 in the evening, and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area.
Looks like another late night on Capitol Hill.
A bailout for the automakers stuck in the Senate. I'm Dan Revive in Washington.
Unemployment claims hit a 26-year high.
It is a signal. I mean, it does highlight just how bad things are.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Right now, congressional leaders, the Bush administration, and auto industry leaders are negotiating the terms of a bailout for Detroit carmakers. At stake is a bill providing $14 billion in government loan guarantees.
In the House, it passed, but in the Senate, an impasse.
We simply cannot ask the American taxpayer to subsidize failure.
Mitch McConnell, the leader of the minority Republicans, still numerous enough to mount a filibuster to prevent a vote. Some Republicans say it would be better for Detroit's car companies to file for bankruptcy protection and reorganize under court orders, but
I think it's only fair.
The leader of the majority Democrats, Harry Reid, calls for putting it to a vote.
Then they should offer an alternative.
General Motors has warned without a federal loan program, it'll run out of money this month. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Senator Reid says they've moved closer to agreement and a vote tonight is still possible. The holdout Republicans demand concessions up front from the United Auto Workers Union, and they want car companies to restructure their debt. Now this.
An official message from Medicare.
Today I found out that my drug plan's monthly premium changed. So I compared other plans and found similar coverage at a better price.
Now's the time to review and compare Medicare prescription drug plans. From November 15th to December 31st, you can even change your plan. Call 1-800-MEDICARE. That's 1-800-MEDICARE. Or visit Medicare.gov and use the plan finder to see options in your state. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
How to really stuff a stocking. Step 1, go to the Home Depot. Step 2, get a Ryobi One Plus cordless tool free, up to an $89 value when you buy any Ryobi 18-volt combo kit for someone special on your list. Step 3, consider picking up a bigger stocking.
Great holiday offers and special buys only at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. only through December 31st. See store for details.
The stock market held its own most of the day, but in the final hour, uncertainty about an auto bailout sparked a sell-off. The Dow fell 196 points to 85.65. The Nasdaq dropped 57 points. This morning's report from the Labor Department didn't help. 573,000 people filed new claims for unemployment benefits last week.
The job market is under tremendous pressure. Businesses are battening down the hatches and laying off workers, cutting investment.
Mark Zandi of MoodysEconomy.com. Bank of America says its merger with Merrill Lynch will result in the elimination of up to 35,000 jobs over the next 3 years. Stanley Works, the toolmaker, is cutting 10% of its workforce. And KB Toys has filed for bankruptcy for the second time in 4 years. The Fed says household debt declined in the third quarter, the first drop on record. It's a good thing, says David Weiss, chief economist at Standard & Poor's, but it's another sign of a bad economy.
Americans are getting nervous. They're not buying houses, they're not buying cars, and therefore they don't have to borrow the money to do it.
The price of crude oil shot up more than $4 today to just under $48 a barrel. James Cordier at OptionSellers.com says the market's reacting to diminished supply.
Production from Russia and Mexico and different parts of the Middle East are down significantly, and I think that spells a rebound for the first quarter of 2009.
Russian President Medvedev said today he's ready to work with OPEC to get prices back up. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich spent a second day in his Chicago office behind closed doors, but a spokesman said he's upbeat and positive, and there's a sense of trying to return to normalcy. President-elect Obama repeated his call for Blagojevich to step down.
I hope that the governor himself comes to the conclusion that he can no longer effectively serve and that he does resign.
Mr. Obama amplified on what he said soon after Blagojevich was accused of trying to sell his Senate seat.
I have never spoken to the governor on this subject. I'm confident that no representatives of mine would have any part of any deals related to this seat.
Mr. Obama did not rule out the possibility that someone on his transition team talked to Blagojevich about the appointment. Today's news conference was to introduce former Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle as the nominee for Secretary of Health and Human Services. He'll also head a new White House office on health care reform.
Addressing our health care challenges will not only mean healthier and longer lives for millions, it will also make American companies more competitive.
He's written a book on the subject. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
When it comes to working around the house, never underestimate the value of getting it done right the first time. At your local Ace Hardware, our associates are always ready with expert tips on the smartest ways to get the results you're looking for. We'll give you simple, straightforward advice that will help you save time and money. So the next time you're thinking about starting a project, consider the value of having everything you need just minutes away at your neighborhood Ace, the helpful place.
CNN Tonight at 9 Eastern. From the network that brought you the award-winning Planet in Peril, the investigation continues. Planet in Peril Battle Lines. Anderson Cooper.
I'm Anderson Cooper off the coast of Cape Town, South Africa.
Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
I'm Dr. Sanjay Gupta deep in the forest of Cameroon.
And Lisa Ling.
I'm Lisa Ling in Taiwan.
Take you to the front lines of the ultimate battles over our natural resources. A CNN worldwide investigation. Planet in Peril Battle Lines. Tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern on CNN.
As the United States...
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
This hour, we talk military and veterans issues with Scott Dick, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Creedence front man, John Fogerty, he can't take it no more.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show up and down the left coast, now live in Boston on AM 1510. And a shout out to our weekend listeners in Portland, Seattle, and San Francisco, where we're heard at noon Sundays on Green 960. Scott Dick is our contributor on military and veterans issues. As you may know, he served in the Marine Corps and then retired from the Army at the rank of major. Scott, welcome.
Thank you, Peter. It's always a pleasure to be on the Peter B. Collins Show, even if it is Sunday.
Okay. You can adjust as needed, whatever you need to do. Scott, I wanted to start off with what I think is going to be very well received in the veterans community, and that is the announcement that General Eric Shinseki will be Barack Obama's nominee to head up the Veterans Affairs Department.
It'll be interesting to see how he executes the President-elect Barack Obama's the strategy for taking care of vets, because he's the point man, and what they talk about behind closed doors is what he has to come out and be the face of. So I hope that Shinseki, being the straight talker that he appears to me to be, although some, like Jimmy McIntyre from CNN, think he's just a myth, I've seen him in action. I don't think he's a myth myself. That he told the president-elect that I'm not going to do this unless you let me do it right. Mm-hmm. I hope that's the conversation they had.
Well, and Obama has made a lot out of this, cabinet of rivals and how he wants to hear dissenting views in the cabinet. And Shinseki did speak up and was ignored and then cashiered by Bush, Rumsfeld, and Cheney when he said, you know, if you really want to occupy Iraq, you're going to need a whole boatload of more troops.
Well, the thing that's going on right now is a sort of attempt by people in CNN, this McIntyre guy who's their military commentator, mm-hmm. to bring Shinseki down a couple of notches. He claims that Shinseki is a myth, that he didn't really stand up to power. And, you know, that's blatantly untrue. He had a chance to quibble with the numbers when he sat in front of Congress. And they demand that he tell them what he thought, and he said several hundred thousand troops.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't exactly fire him. What they did is 2 years in advance, they named his replacement, which means you're then a lame duck. You can't make any changes. You can't do anything big because the guy's going to come right along behind and change it. Now, who was the guy they named? The guy that is Petraeus's mentor. You and I have talked about him. He's a retired lieutenant general who helped Fred Kagan sell the surge strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he never filled the job. He brought Shoemaker in from retirement to fill the job after Shinseki. So it was all just a more sort of Donald Rumsfeld's take on Rovian tactics to discredit Eric Shinseki and make what he said, his estimate of the troops required to occupy Iraq, look crazy. And, in fact, it was Donald Rumsfeld's ideas about how we could occupy Iraq that were actually crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So have you, other than Jamie McIntyre, have you heard any critical voices of this announced appointment?
No, and you and I both have interviewed the likes of Joe Galloway.
Yeah.
You know, he's a noted writer for Military Affairs, and he's one of a big fan of Shinseki, saying he's a straight shooter. He's a quiet guy. He's not going to go publicly grandstand in front of, you know, the world and say, hey, you know, I was right, they were wrong. But he's not that kind of guy. I think that's the kind of intellect, honest broker that we need in government, especially after the last 8 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is important to me because while Veterans Affairs is not part of the foreign policy team, I've been a little distressed that Obama has talked about how he wants to encourage dissent, but nobody that he's appointed so far has a history of open dissent about the most critical foreign policy blunders of recent years. And so, again, Shinseki will not be central to the national security team, but just maybe they'll ring him up once in a while and say, General, what do you think?
Well, this is what I love about good teams. You're never going to see the public face of dissent. You're going to see people sitting around, and you might have a resignation once in a while, but by and large, you can have people sitting around smiling when the execution strategy begins, when they begin to execute the vision. All of the fist fighting and the compromise should be done behind closed doors among the team members so he gets the best idea. I mean, the book Groupthink was written after the Bay of Pigs, and it described how Bobby Kennedy actually was the minder. He made sure all dissent was checked at the door when they walked into the conference room, and he said it was a huge, 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 huge mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I certainly agree there. So who do you think Shinseki will turn to? And maybe it's too early to speculate here, but do you see him cleaning house at the VA and really focusing on the needs of veterans and their families?
Cleaning house is a problem. If they're professional civil servants, that's going to be very, very tough. And as long as Bush didn't burrow any appointees into the administration, the VA, that should be good. He can get rid of all those political appointees who have to resign anyway. It's tradition. All of those political appointees submit their resignations at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to have a chance to bring in his own team, his own personal advisors, and he'll probably surround himself with vets, with, you know, the colonels and captains and other generals and people like that, that he could trust, people from the medical field who are working in civilian life that he knows who've serviced vets or their vets themselves. And that's how I would build a team. And I'm not saying I can reproduce these thought patterns, but that's people that you know, people that you trust, and are smart, and that they'll stand up for what they think is right, even if you have to have a, you know, shouting match because you're not in the military anymore.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, Scott, but tick off a couple of things that you would put at the top of General Shinseki's agenda as he takes over at the VA.
I think number one is to get anybody, to get every troop. Well, he's going to be at the VA, so I guess they get all active duty troops that are taking some kind of psychotropic off the drugs and out of harm's way. But that's, I think the VA really needs to make a huge investment in the diagnosis, treatment, and care of PTSD and get it eliminated from our vocabulary the best they can. And there's some new techniques they're seeing out there that work.
Mm-hmm.
Second is to get this traumatic brain injury. They're building a brand new research facility in, I think it's Bethesda, Maryland, with charity donations. The federal government's not funding it. That is mind-boggling to me. It's outrageous.
Now, let me get this straight. Traumatic brain injury, TBI, which is a somewhat recent development in military medical textbooks, is being handed off to, like, the Shriners or Jerry Lewis in the Labor Day telethon?
Well, much better than that. But, yeah, I mean, the Fisher House and the people who run that, they're spectacularly excellent charity. They, out of every dollar they raise, like 97% or 97 cents go to the vets.
Mm-hmm.
So they're no fly by night, but they're trying to build a $70 million research facility for TBI, and they have 20 million. And the federal government is sitting on their hands. They spend $12 billion a month in Iraq and Afghanistan, not just Iraq. And they can't come up with a measly a couple of jet plane rides for George Bush to build this facility. And TBI, that's what I'm pretty sure that's what Muhammad Ali has, and it's created all of his symptoms. And when you look across the spectrum of brain injury, some of those, for example, professional football players at their fifth concussion, aren't they declared unfit for playing pro ball anymore?
Sounds right. Yeah.
So the long-term effects of undiagnosed TBI, it results in all sorts of behavior problems, and people who are good soldiers or good sailors, et cetera, they have undiagnosed TBI. They become combative. They have, you know, there's all sorts of things. And if you don't know that they've been treated, if you don't know they've been diagnosed, you just think they're scumbags.
Mm-hmm.
So treatment is a whole nother. How do you treat the brain if you can't go into it and dig around, you know, with a, you know, a pencil and a compass or something?
Yeah.
So it's just, and it's because we have the most, we have the best body armor. The up armored Humvees actually contributed to TBI, is what the initial reports are saying.
Right. Yeah. The better armor is keeping alive and creating kind of new categories of injuries for soldiers who in previous conflicts probably would have died in that situation.
And the armored Humvee is different than the MRAPs, because the MRAPs are much heavier, and it's the instant acceleration. It's sort of like launching on the space shuttle that causes the TBI when soldiers survive from a big IED explosion.
Mm-hmm. Now, Scott, we've talked about some non-medical issues regarding the VA over the last couple of years. There have been cutbacks in some of the perks and benefits for veterans and their families who use VA facilities. Talk a little bit about that, and how much of a budget increase do we need just to restore the cuts that have occurred in the last 7-8 years?
Well, if my memory serves me right, there was about a total of $28 billion that John McCain did not vote for to increase funding for construction and facilities. The suicide hotline is a relatively new phenomenon, although they do have a lot of people on tap to staff, you know, into those clinics. They don't have enough satellite clinics. People from here, I think, have to drive up to San Jose, for example. I'm talking about the Monterey Peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't have the kind of outreach they should. I mean, we still have 145,000 veterans living on the streets in the United States, which is just a disgrace. So I'm saying $25, $30, $40, $50 billion, that would help. And then you have the problem with the medical care system. Last time I looked, could be wrong, but is pretty broken. They don't hire the best and the brightest. And then we have something like 600,000 applications for patients or requests for to have a relook at their record that are behind, 600,000 that are just pending. That's almost, you know, that's half over half a million of our veterans, male and female, who've served. So that's ridiculous. So there's a whole lot of places that he has a lot of fires he's going to have to stomp out.
All right, we're going to take a break and return. If you want to join the conversation, do so. If you've served, you're very welcome to call. The number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can always email me, too. That's peter@peterbcollins.com. Or if there's something you don't agree with, send it to fullofit@peterbcollins.com.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. A Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now on County Road G11, just west of Carpinteria Road, we have a traffic collision with no injuries. In Santa Cruz, on the northbound 1, just south of Freedom Boulevard, there is a pedestrian in the roadway. Also in Santa Cruz, we have a traffic hazard on Highway 152 at the cemetery. A white Volvo is blocking the eastbound lane. Moving over to the Hollister-Gilroy area, on the northbound 101, on the East End Avenue off-ramp, we have a two-vehicle traffic collision with one lane blocked. CHP is on the scene there. Also on the northbound 101, just south of Highway 156, there is an animal on the road, so look out for him. That's your traffic report on AM 540. Have a lovely afternoon and stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
the Peter B. Collins Show. We continue this hour focused on veterans and military issues. My special guest and regular contributor is Scott Dick. He's host of The Scott Dick Show on KRXA 540. That's our flagship station in Monterey, California. And you can find out more about him at thescottdickshow.com. Scott, we got a couple of callers right now. Let's go to Brian in Manchester, New Hampshire, listening on the mighty 1510 out of Boston. Hello, Brian.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to talk to Scott. He talked about earlier on about groupthink, about that phenomena of groupthink. I think the corporations have gotten us all into this groupthink against government civil servants who do a lot of good and do it a lot less wasteful and profiteering manner than do these privatized companies. I think with the care for our veterans, Scott, at least, especially at the Walter Reed Hospital, just the glowing example there with the rats and the mold and all that, that was all privatized by the Walter Reed Hospital was, and the career civil servants there, Scott, they tried to fight against what was happening there, just as the career civil servants and the Justice Department were fighting against the attorney scandal. And the fact is that this company that privatized the place there then did, like the contractors in Iraq, then they underworked and underperformed and overcharged for everything. This IAP Corporation, its staff of directors include a former commandant of the Marine Corps, former vice chief of staff of the Air Force, and former Vice President Dan Quayle. Also, IAP's growth has also been aided by the fact that it's controlled by the giant hedge fund, Cerberus. Mm-hmm. They own Chrysler now,
yeah.
Right?
Yes, they do.
Capital Management, which has taken over dozens of companies and now more of a conglomerate than an investment fund.
Well, Brian, you make some excellent points there. Yep. Scott, go ahead.
Well, true. I mean, they started this military contract in the very beginning of 2000, well, as soon as Bush took over. And I had a friend who was on active duty. He was the editor of Soldier Magazine. And he would sit in on these meetings where Rumsfeld was talking about contracting all these things out. And it was blatantly illegal. And so what they did is, well, yeah, we're going to have to go in and make some law changes. But what they tried to do first was totally illegal. It's seen as the last bastion of ways for corporations to make money. It, you know, regular business isn't good enough. They have to go in and replace, for example, all the doctors or all the cleaning staff or the people who hand out basketballs at the gym. They want to contract it all that out.
They're doing this even in our military, which is an example of where the not-for-profit, the spirit of American democracy is supposed to take. That's supposed to be the key and not a corporatist for-profit.
Well, Brian, the thing that used to irk me is that we would have soldiers who were, for example, in charge of the training material building. And so you could go, you know, come back from the field at 9 o'clock at night, and there'd be a soldier there waiting for you so you could turn in all your training aids that you had to check out and be responsible for during your training period. Well, once they contracted that out, good luck finding somebody there after 4:30 in the afternoon. It was all supposed to be there more efficient and better at it. But that was a bunch of crap.
Mm-hmm. Brian, thank you very much. Great to hear from you today. Now we jump to Thomas in Santa Cruz, listening on KRXA. Go ahead, Thomas.
Yeah, hi, Peter B. Hi, Scott. I was very interested in your talk about veterans and traumatic brain injury because, as you may or may not remember, I have been living with one since 2002, and it was really good to hear what Scott said about people thinking that people with traumatic brain injuries are jerks, and it's like it's one of the hells that you have to live through in brain injury. People that you used to know who they either leave you or they think you're a jerk and they treat you really bad, and they haven't got a clue that what's happening is not your fault in the least, and it's only one of the things that brings out the rage that Scott also talked about in traumatic brain injury. And I know quite a bit about it. If anybody really wanted to come to understand it, I would certainly be willing to come on the show and talk about it.
All right, I appreciate that, Thomas. Scott, your comment?
Well, it's one of those things, Peter, you can't see any physical effects from it. And so when you tell somebody, you know, we're familiar with the people who try to get out of work by saying they have a back injury. You know, there's some people out there that have back injuries, but I know enough people that, you know, you see them playing basketball when they think nobody's looking, that you know their back's not really hurting them. But it's the kind of injury that you can't really tell. Brain TBI is just like that, except it affects all your mental faculties, your temper, your temperament, your outlook of
unexplained emotional swings as a part of TBI. If you blend that in with PTSD, because TBI doesn't erase your memory of when you were in combat or what you saw in combat, when you blend that in with PTSD, you have a potent combination of mind-body altering injury. And I'm tired of calling PTSD an illness. It's an injury to the brain.
We'll continue with Scott Dick. Thomas, send me an email and we'll get in touch with you, okay? I appreciate your call today. It's the Peter B. Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The best Christmas pageant in America. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Other states may try, but I think it's clear that Washington State now has the best Christmas pageant in America. Other states stick with a secular holiday tree, a watered-down, essentially pagan symbol that has long been stripped of any religious meaning. But at the Washington State Capitol in Olympia, that doesn't cut it. Under an out-of-court settlement with a devout Christian who thought that a holiday tree was too secular, religious groups may now display anything that reflects deeply held religious beliefs. So, a Christian nativity scene appeared, reflecting a deeply held belief in Jesus, followed by an atheist sign, reflecting a deeply held belief that the nativity is a myth, followed by Christian counter signs, reflecting a deeply held belief that atheists are full of it, followed by an application from people who believe deeply in Seinfeld for a Festivus poll, the free thinkers who want to display the flying spaghetti monster, and the latest application, the deeply religious and deeply anti-gay Westboro Baptist Church of Kansas, which wants a Santa Claus will take you to hell sign based on its deeply held belief that the recession is the result of God's hate. Condemned souls roasting on an open fire. And we have yet to hear from the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, maybe they're too mellow to care, Chinese ancestor worshippers, Wicca, Sikhs, and, of course, the Scientologists. With 14 protest days left until Christmas, this display is limited only by the size of the Capitol Rotunda. You know, I think it may turn out that the real spirit of Christmas is at Macy's after all. Now this.
Okay, everybody, let's get started. Wait, where's Jim with the Q1 marketing plan?
Well, sir, not sure, but he's been acting kind of strange lately.
Hiya, gang! Sorry I'm late. I was at Office Max stocking up on Secret Santa gifts. Ha ha! All right, who's up for some eggnog, huh?
Da-da-da-da. Oh no, he's gone elf.
Office Max is your headquarters for the holidays, and of course, don't forget to elf yourself at elfyourself.com. This week only, print a custom calendar for $8.99 when you purchase two. See store for details while supplies last.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
This is PWT News. We are here at the North Pole where scandal has erupted. Accusations, rumors, and all-out attacks are flying fast and furious around Santa's toy shop this holiday season. Can St. Nicholas himself really be guilty of sexual harassment against one of the reindeer? Look, there's Dasher. Dasher, can you comment on the scandal?
You want to comment? I got a comment. I don't know what happened. I don't know, and I don't want to know.
Can Christmas be saved in the face of these accusations?
I'm flying. I'll be leading the eight this year, next year, every year.
And does Mrs. Claus have a drinking problem?
Lady, what the are you talking about?
Paperwing Theater Company presents the dark Christmas comedy, The Eight Reindeer Monologues, December 5th through 22nd at 320 Hoffman Avenue in Monterey. Get tickets at the door or by calling 675-0521. The Eight Reindeer Monologues is a tart alternative to candy cane Christmas cheer. Call 675-0521 to reserve tickets now. Come and see what all the eight reindeer have to say about this scandal. Call 675-0521 now.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go... Where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
And by the way, I don't usually issue denials, but the B does not stand for Blagojevich. And I've never tried to buy a seat in the United States Senate. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. This hour, spending it with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. You can dial in and join this conversation toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. So, Scott, this is not surprising, but it is disappointing. Thursday's New York Times, with a headline, Gates arrives in Afghanistan, and he has announced a 40% increase in U.S. troop commitments in Afghanistan. Let me read part of the story, and we'll talk about it. Defense Secretary Robert M. Gates said in Kandahar, Afghanistan, on Thursday that the Pentagon, which plans to send 20,000 additional troops to Afghanistan, was trying to get thousands of the additional forces into the country as soon as this coming spring, a sign of the seriousness of the threat facing the U.S. against the Taliban. The soldiers were requested by General David McKiernan, the top commander in Afghanistan, the first of them, about 4,000 from the 3rd Brigade of the 10th Mountain Division from Fort Drum, New York, scheduled to arrive in January. Mr. Gates said he hoped to deploy an additional 2 combat brigades in Afghanistan by the spring as part of an effort to combat growing violence and chaos in the country. He declined to name the specific units, and Pentagon officials have said it would take 12 to 18 months overall to get all 20,000 American troops into Afghanistan. It's been a little complicated by recent events in Pakistan. And the story goes on. Gates and General McKiernan said Thursday there would be a sustained commitment of American troops in Afghanistan for the next 3 to 4 years. And this additional 20,000 troops will bring the count to 58,000 from the current level of 34,000 Americans. And that's where I get the 40% increase figure. Scott, what do you think?
Well, I'm looking at that. The math just breaks down to 1,000 troops a month, which is about a reinforced battalion. Those first combat troops are going to go in, I'm sure, and shore up the troops that are there, provide, you know, local security, that kind of thing. This isn't a surge strategy. This is a tactical reinforcement that enables the troops to operate with higher security than they have now. I mean, when those troops go out on the mountaintops, they're by themselves. They go out in platoon. The platoon is nothing nowadays as far as holding any kind of geography. And they're sitting ducks, so this should reduce their sitting duckness a little.
Quack, quack.
Exactly. You know, especially around Christmas time, you know, the ducks need to just go hide. No wonder they fly south for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So, but a 3 to 5 year, I think the only strategy that I've heard articulated, Peter, was the train the Afghani military and the police.
Right.
And bring them up to speed while Karzai negotiates with the Taliban. Now, I don't know why he thinks he can negotiate with them. They are apparently a lot smarter than he is, and once they become, what, co-leaders, then, you know, he'll be dead. We'll be reading about that in 10 years from now. So I'm not sure exactly without the elimination, and they'll never be able to interrupt myself. Without eliminating the Taliban as a threat to Afghanistan, you know, there's no security for Karzai and that former government there, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Scott, you and I have talked about this for quite some time, but for the benefit of our new listeners in Boston, I just want to underscore that I think this is just a serious blunder on the part of the president-elect and his national security team. It's one of the reasons I don't support the holdover of Bob Gates as Secretary of Defense. And while I took a little bit of comfort in remarks that Obama made on Meet the Press this past Sunday, where he did acknowledge the history of failed occupations by outsiders in Afghanistan, nonetheless, he's moving forward with the plan that he first articulated during the campaign. And let's take this in pieces, because what they have announced so far is that the first additional troops will be in the Kabul area. This is where Hamid Karzai, the alleged president of Afghanistan, serves as a glorified mayor. And once you get beyond there, even if we were able to eradicate the Taliban with the nuclear strikes counseled by Michael Savage, you know, even if we could just wish them away and wipe them away, Afghanistan is an ungovernable nation because it has regions that are dominated by warlords. And those warlords only respond to whoever paid them most recently, or if they haven't been paid recently, then they operate solely out of self-interest. They do not really respect or acknowledge the central government that we imposed with Hamid Karzai, the former UNICAL consultant. And I believe that this is the gravest of errors, and it pains me. Here, as we are heading into this hopeful era of change, a dismissal of the wrecking crew, efforts to repair the damage domestically and internationally caused by the Bush administration, yet this step into Afghanistan is such a serious mistake that it just really makes me sad to see this new administration stepping off with such a serious problem, such a serious misjudgment.
Peter, this is a case where you and I diverge here on the misjudgment. His first degree is in international relations, so mm-hmm. He may understand more than most people give him credit for. He's not just some constitutional politician dude. And understanding what's going on in Afghanistan, I think he does, because it would betray his brilliance in other areas for him just to go dumb on this subject. Getting out of Iraq is, I think, number one. And having troops in Afghanistan is number two, because we can save, $12 billion a month right there. We won't have to borrow $12 billion a month from the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
So the next thing is to hold Afghanistan as a marker against the Taliban. We can never eradicate the Taliban, and you know why, Peter?
Because it's a creature of the Pakistani military.
They'll just make new ones. Ding, ding. That's excellent. So,
yeah, that's how we got Taiba, however you pronounce that group.
Yeah, in India. So until we change the mindset, no long-term problem there, of the Pakistanis, that India is such a threat, they don't care what they do on the rest of the planet so they can, counterweight the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're kind of facing a Taliban that the Pakistanis will create as fast as we can kill them, and that's precisely what's happening.
Well, I don't know that we disagree so much here, Scott, because...
Wait, I'm getting to my next point.
Okay, let me hear it. Go ahead.
All right, so now you have a Democrat who's been elected president, is going to take over amidst all the screaming and yelling and absolute crap being brushed over from the Republicans about the Democrats being soft on terror and crime and don't know national security from the hollow ground, et cetera, et cetera. That's why I don't like the Gates holding over thing, because there are Democrats out there that can do this job. And he's just like Clinton did, he turned it over to a Republican, and look how much cooperation that got him. So we need to train Democrats to do national security.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to keep them in positions, high positions of power, that develop a loyal, good, solid working group, so we can articulate counters if the Republicans ever get in power again. And what would happen if he left from Iraq and Afghanistan? You and I might be assuaged, and then the Taliban resurges, and then the next terrorist plot is hatched from Afghanistan, and it will be Barack Obama's fault because he left this wide open from counterattack by the Taliban and whoever the new 10-foot terrorist that sleeps under your bed du jour is. I think they're making a very cold, calculated, political calculus. I just repeated myself. I think it's political calculus that says, all right, let us sort out the Iraq thing first. Let's hold and reinforce in Afghanistan. Give our troops some breathing room. With more troops, you have to run fewer patrols. You have to go to fewer dangerous places. You have to expose yourself less, not more.
Mm-hmm.
So let's hold in Afghanistan. Let's get out of Iraq. Let's unscrew our economy and maybe train a loyal, and this is where the big maybe is, a loyal Afghani police and military force so they can embrace changes and become more modern. Get them up to the 18th century or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, Scott, here's my feeling, that things have changed since the campaign when Obama was talking about putting more troops into Afghanistan and the Mumbai attacks and the increased tension between Pakistan and India. to me, are the flashpoint that we need to pay attention to. And the very same factors, the Taliban, the Lashkar-e-Taiba, and there are a number of other these Islamist jihadist groups that operate in the remote areas of eastern Pakistan. And we need to really be focused on that. And we have a very problematic new civilian government with Zardari in Pakistan. I don't trust him. He's the best available of the civilian leaders. But we have to recognize that it's the generals who call the shots and decide when to end civilian rule. And my guess is that they will be prepared to do it again. And this is where I believe we need to focus. And so by committing another 20,000 troops to Afghanistan for as long as 4 years, we are once again getting bogged down, not in the action zone, but in an occupation that can only create targets of American soldiers, harden the opposition of the average civilian, and really make us part of the problem.
Peter, you know the expression, when your feet get cold, put on a hat?
Yeah.
Well, this is the Department of Defense way to deal with the Pakistani situation. The way that Senator Clinton is going to have to handle it is she's going to have to fix Kashmir.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is the domino for that, that begins the domino effect for that area. She's got to go up there and negotiate, bust some heads. There are allies, for God's sakes. We're being squeezed in Afghanistan precisely by our allies. She needs to work on Kashmir. They need to make that. That's disappeared off everybody's radar screen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, defers, you know, that's popular. Kashmir ain't. Is it intractable? I don't know. The Palestinian situation, that's another place that these need to get settled.
Mm-hmm.
And until they do, we're going to be in Afghanistan for 1,000 years.
Okay, but that's where I really think that there is no direct value to putting more American troops there in the coming year. And while people don't like to hear it, I think that a form of benign neglect is what we should apply to Afghanistan as we try to put out these flash fires in Pakistan and India. And it really is Pakistan that is the real trouble spot that we need to deal with. And I believe, again, we will be distracted and bogged down in Afghanistan. And while they are neighbors, and you might see Afghanistan as a staging area for potential attacks into Pakistan, or even a potential occupation of Pakistan in order to secure their nuclear weapons, I once again just feel that we're moving in the wrong direction, that Afghanistan cannot be occupied successfully, and that we need to recognize that and approach this in a different manner.
Yeah, I don't know. We need to get the Iranians involved on one side and the Pakistanis more involved and less worried about Kashmir and the Indians. And this is what happens when you have the likes of George Bush and his cronies, the Wolfowitz, these single-minded, unitarian kind of thinkers where what the only thing they wanted to do, Peter, was attack Saddam Hussein and attack Iran. That's it. And the rest of the world be damned, and the implications for Americans and the energy policy and just how, you know, just the whole situation. I think this is just a domestically, politically, it's for domestic consumption to reinforce, to take the pressure off the thin amount of troops we have in Afghanistan and then try to work in some direction. Because, you know, the NATO plan didn't work. That was Rumsfeld's brilliant idea to bring NATO in there.
I also think that it was an Obama campaign tactic to prevent people from saying he's a peacenik. Oh, he wants to get us out of Iraq. And by saying, well, I want to put more troops into Afghanistan, it was a way of pushing back on those who would characterize his Iraq position as soft.
Well, there's
and again, things have changed since the campaign, and that's why I'm disappointed that they haven't modified this this whole approach to Afghanistan.
Well, the closest you can get to putting troops in Pakistan is to put them in Afghanistan. And so, you know, he's faced with this real kettle of fish he's going to have to sort out, and maybe this is a move that's going to help our troops. Number one, it's going to help our troops. It's not going to help anybody else. It's going to help our troops. Not the ones going, the ones that are already there.
All right, we're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick, and we'll talk about the House Democrat who is counseling President Obama to hold on to the spooks, Hayden and McConnell. Holy cow! We'll talk about that next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the news, KRXA 540.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now, we have a traffic collision with no details on Old Stage Road at Natividad Road. In Santa Cruz, on Lake Boulevard at Lompico Road, there is a traffic collision with an ambulance responding. And on Seacliff Drive at Spreckles Drive, there is a van with a trailer blocking the road. Also in Santa Cruz, on Mount Hermon Road at Graham Hill Road, there is a vehicle blocking the lane. In weather, your forecast for tonight is clear. Later this evening, we'll have patchy low cloud and fog. Lows will be in the lower 40s. Now for some temperatures. Monterey is 57 degrees, Salinas is 63 degrees, and Santa Cruz is also 63 degrees. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great afternoon. The Peter B. Collins Show is coming right back.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting Sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire Cornucopia Landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues live from San Francisco. Music of the moment from Smash Mouth. I'm Peter B., along with Scott Dick, our regular contributor on military and veterans issues. Scott, just one more little nibble here about Afghanistan. Once again, we had an incident where U.S. forces killed six Afghan police officers. It's a tragic case of mistaken identity, we say. But, again, my feeling is we put more troops in, and maybe we'll rely less on air power and not, strafe as many wedding parties as we have in the past year. But while I hear your argument that more troops makes it safer for those who go out on patrol, I think that ultimately we do end up as occupiers who become the problem.
Well, we've become the Soviet Union, and you can see how they were bled with just a few $100 million from us to Osama bin Laden, how they were bled to death.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some historians that draw a direct line from their occupation of Afghanistan into their destruction, their downfall. So, yeah, that's a situation. All I can hope is that we're in this, you know, holding pattern there, and until we can come up with somebody a lot smarter than I can come up with a solution that gets us out with all of our parts.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ugly, ugly situation, and the job, as long as the Taliban are part of the Pakistani intelligence services, they'll never be gone. Yeah. So just create a new one.
So let's shift now to Sylvester Reyes, a Democrat from Texas who chairs the House Intelligence Committee. And in the 2 years since he took over, he has not distinguished himself, and now we've reached a new difficult point. He is proposing and advising the president-elect to hold over Mike McConnell as Director of National Intelligence and Mike Hayden as head of the CIA. He wants continuity in the intelligence sector, and he went on to say that he believes that we need to keep these people on because torture might be necessary. Now, I just have to say that Congressman Reyes is not speaking for me when he offers these kinds of boneheaded ideas, because we've had real problems with intelligence, and it's not just the way Bush has tried to blame them as he rewrites history for his legacy project, Scott.
Oh, yeah.
But the intelligence community was heavily politicized, and with, you know, the way that they supported the NSA wiretapping program, the way that they condoned torture and the use of secret prisons, the use of rendition, these are all very serious issues that cannot be washed away in some effort to say, oh, there are bad terrorists out there, so we need to keep our barbaric leaders on duty to confront those monsters. And I just think that it's totally wrong.
Well, what he said was, Peter, I just want to make a note here about the FBI before I forget. What he said is we don't want to be known for torturing people. At the same time, we don't want to limit our ability to get information that's vital and critical to our national security. That's what the new administration is going to have to decide what those parameters are, what those limitations are. It seems like the limitations should be treaties that we ratified and laws that we passed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's as simple as that. And for him to advocate anything other than that, it just shows that he's ignorant.
And he's been watching Jack Bauer, okay? And he's saying, well, there's this ticking time bomb scenario where we got to be able to torture somebody so that we can prevent a major nuclear suitcase bomb or something like that.
And, Peter, you and I have not heard or seen any legitimate, other than Bill O'Reilly and the likes of Sean Hannity, any legitimate information that says that torture or these extreme interrogation methods work. And,
yeah.
In fact, the FBI has said exactly the opposite, that they don't work.
Right.
And so my heartburn with Mullen and Hayden is they say stuff like this. I got this quote. McConnell and Hayden. McConnell says that adherence to the Army Field Manual was designed for young, inexperienced interrogators, and he didn't consider waterboarding to be torture.
Hmm.
And Hayden dismissed torture as a mere legal term. So a legal term.
Right.
But this is from the administration that bought us McKaysey, who said not all violations of law are criminal. So how can you get a word? It reminds me of the game of Star Wars where you drive through airship through all those pipes and things, and it's incredibly you come close to hitting something and then you manage to make it through.
Mm-hmm.
That's how these guys have walked this torture thing.
Yeah.
And justified it. Torturing other human beings, even if they didn't know for a fact that they were guilty. You know, it seems to me, Peter, you torture people after they've been found guilty, not before they've been found guilty. Because then you torture innocent people. And then you go, as we found out in, 600 cases from Guantanamo?
Mm-hmm.
Oops.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything.
Well, and we really have to put an end to this. It's not enough to close Guantanamo. We have to very clearly make a departure from the sordid law-breaking of the Bush administration, and this is why I want investigations, it's why I've supported impeachment.
Right.
We need to show the world that we recognize the errors of Bush, Cheney, and Addington, and Rumsfeld's ways, and that we're going to change it.
And
what Reyes is saying is a fake. He wants to close Guantanamo and keep torturing people when it will keep us safe.
And there's no, contravenes all the evidence. He obviously doesn't know what he's talking about, and I didn't even know how bad he is, Peter. I didn't even know he was chairman of the Intelligence Committee.
Yeah. Well, he replaced Jane Harmon because Nancy Pelosi couldn't trust her. I don't think we got an upgrade there. And so far, there has been talk of putting Jane Harmon in part of the spook community, and that would be a major step backwards. So we'll continue to watch. Scott Dick, thank you for joining me today.
You can't see my face, Peter, but thanks for leaving me with that look on my face.
Okay, bye.
Take care.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
There's good faith negotiations going on as we speak.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says they're closer to agreement on a bailout for Detroit automakers.
So if everyone would be patient, there's still a possibility, and even maybe a probability, sometime this evening we would be able to vote.
They're negotiating changes demanded by Republicans who want more concessions from the car companies and the United Auto Workers Union. GOP leader Mitch McConnell.
This proposal isn't nearly tough enough. A primary weakness relates to the so-called car czar, who has nearly unlimited power to allocate taxpayer dollars, but limited ability to force the kind of tough concessions that long-term viability would require.
Just in case they can't work something out, the Wall Street Journal says General Motors has hired lawyers and bankers to prepare for a possible bankruptcy filing. The pace of layoffs is picking up. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus has that.
The economy keeps bleeding jobs. Bank of America plans to cut 35,000 workers over the next 3 years because of the weak economy and its merger with Merrill Lynch. The job cuts will come from both companies. The news comes on the heels of a Labor Department report today that showed the number of people applying for unemployment benefits jumped to 573,000 last week. That's a 26-year high.
Toolmaker Stanley Works says it will close three plants and eliminate 2,000 jobs. President-elect Barack Obama announced today that he's tapped former Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle for two jobs, Secretary of Health and Human Services and Director of a new White House Office on Health Care Reform. Mr. Obama also repeated his call for Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich to resign. Just 6 weeks before President Bush leaves office, the administration has revised endangered species regulations to limit the input of federal scientists and to keep endangered species out of the debate on global warming. Andrew Wexler of the Natural Resources Defense Council is outraged.
Today's announcement is a last-minute attempt to give a gift to the oil and gas industry and other industrial interests, which have long opposed the Endangered Species Act and tried to weaken it.
California has adopted the nation's most ambitious plan to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, KCBS Radio's George Harris reports.
It's a milestone in combating global warming. State regulators adopting sweeping rules to cut greenhouse gas emissions by 30% to 1990 levels by 2020. At a Sacramento hearing, critics and supporters weighed in.
The reality of climate regulation is that there will be costs.
What will be the cost to California if we do not take the steps that are outlined?
Some 31 new regulations take effect beginning in 2012. Tougher emission standards will affect everything from vehicles to refineries to utilities. George Harris, CBS News, San Francisco.
Another late-day sell-off. The Dow dropped 196 points to 85.65. This is CBS News.
If you have irritable bowel syndrome, Digestive Advantage could be your best friend. It's a safe and natural, friendly probiotic made especially for you. Look for Digestive Advantage, Irritable Bowel Syndrome, and other Digestive Advantage products in the Digestive Aid section of retailers everywhere. Just remember the name, Digestive Advantage, a friend indeed. Mm-hmm. Digestive Advantage Irritable Bowel Syndrome is a medical food for the dietary management of IBS to be used under the supervision of your physician.
If someone you know would love a quality Swiss watch for the holidays, go to Jarrett, the Galleria of Jewelry. As you might expect from the store that has five times the selection of ordinary jewelry stores, you'll find an outstanding collection with brands like Tag Heuer, Movado, Tissot, and many more. But unlike stores that carry just a few models, Jarrett always has the latest styles of the brands you want.
It can only be Jarrett.
Find a Jarrett store or shop anytime at Jarrett.com.
Panels of experts advising the Food and Drug Administration recommend that the drugs Foradil and Cerevent are not safe enough to be used for treating asthma. But CBS News correspondent Barry Vagnotta reports two other medications have been spared.
The panels refused to ban Advair and Symbicort, by far the most popular of the four drugs reviewed. Unlike the two rejected treatments, they combine a steroid with an ingredient that relaxes muscles around restricted airways. The panel determined
that combination was safe and effective for continued use.
The FDA's Dr. John Jenkins, building his breath with a whirring nebulizer, 13-year-old Julian Dorsey stood and told the panels he needs his medication.
Life got a whole lot easier, and without Advair, I don't know what I'd do.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Rockville, Maryland.
900,000 Toro Power Sweep electric leaf blowers are being recalled. The impellers can break apart, hurling pieces of plastic out of the machine. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
An official message from Medicare.
Today I found out that my drug plan's monthly premium changed. So I compared other plans and found similar coverage at a better price.
Now's the time to review and compare Medicare prescription drug plans. From November 15th to December 31st, you can even change your plan. Call 1-800-MEDICARE. That's 1-800-MEDICARE. Or visit Medicare.gov and use the plan finder to see options in your state. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
How to really stuff a stocking. Step 1. Go to the Home Depot. Step 2, get a Ryobi One Plus cordless tool free, up to an $89 value when you buy any Ryobi 18-volt combo kit for someone special on your list. Step 3, consider picking up a bigger stocking.
Great holiday offers and special buys, only at the Home Depot. You can do it, we can help. U.S. only through December 31st. See store for details.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Yes, the Peter B. Collins Show is available by the slice. And we're serving up a hot steaming one right now. Welcome to the Free Speech Zone. This hour is set aside to hear your views and opinions. All my lines are open right now, so don't be shy. Don't hold back. In Boston, I want to hear from you. Nick Tanum is taking your calls today. Nick's fired up. He's ready. Give us a call now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B.
I feel so extraordinary. Something's got a hold on me. I get this feeling I'm in motion. A certain sense of liberty. I can't cause another. I don't care if I'm here tomorrow.
That's one of my favorite songs from the 80s by New Order. It's called True Faith. I'm Peter B., and I'm sitting here with an open switchboard. We've got a new station in Boston, the powerful AM 1510. A guy called the other day from hundreds of miles away from Boston, so we know it's a powerful signal that gets well outside of the Boston metro area. And I want you to call. You've been sitting back listening, checking out this new guy from the left coast, Peter B. What's he about? Why doesn't he like the bailout? Why does he criticize Obama so much? Well, what you get on this program is just my opinions. And I don't pull punches. I don't protect people. I am not in the tank for any political candidate or leader. And you get my honest opinions on a daily basis. And I'll bet you disagree with some of them. And that's what this forum is for. So my lines are open this entire hour. We'll pause for a couple of minutes to get the news that nobody else has from R.J. Schulman at the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch. And toward the end of the hour, Gary Chu, our official film reviewer, is going to join us and tell you whether or not we ought to go see Frost Nixon. It opens this weekend. But between now and then, my lines are wide open, and I want to hear from you. If you call from Boston or the New England area, we've got a free gift for you. It's a DVD of the documentary film about the stolen election in Florida in 2000. Murder, Spies, and Voting Lies. Something like that. I have a little trouble with the name, and the DVD is all the way across the room. But anyway, I will reward any caller from Boston who comes on the air here in the Free Speech Zone today with a DVD, and I'm actually planning to go to the post office tomorrow and mail out those that have been earned over the last 2 weeks. So you know my number, or you should know it by now. It's 1-888-573-8372, and it converts to 888-5-PETER-B. We think that's easier to remember, but I know some people with fancy phones, especially the iPhone, you want the digits. 888-573-8372. And I got a couple of items to catch up on here. We've talked a lot about the package, the rescue package for Detroit that's now hung up in the United States Senate. It appears the showdown will come on Friday when Harry Reid will take a vote, even if he doesn't have the votes. And right now it appears he does not. We've also talked about military issues, the nomination of General Eric Shinseki to head the Veterans Administration. I think that's a real good pick by Obama. And also this stinky advice from Sylvester Reyes, the alleged Democrat who chairs the House Intelligence Committee. I guess we got to put intelligence in quotes, too. Saying that Obama should keep on the spooks. Mike Mullen and Mike Hayden. Sorry. Those guys are done. And if Obama does hold them over, wow. I'll go ballistic, I'll tell you that right now, because that is something I can't countenance. It's not enough just to close Guantanamo. We need to make a clear break with the past law-breaking and barbaric behavior of the Bush administration, and it is that cut and dried for me. Now, Glenn Beck is getting ready to make a move. He's been on the CNN headline news channel for the last year and a half. And he's been hired to beef up the right-wing nuts at the Fox News Channel. Yeah, they don't have enough. So on this occasion, Time Magazine interviewed Glenn Beck. And while I often disagree with Glenn Beck virulently, he's a pretty good radio talk show host, I'll give him that. Anyway, truthiness is the issue here. And in an interview with Time Magazine's Kate Pickert, Glenn Beck said that, well, you know, CNN was good for him because they really made him work. He said, I think they made me a better broadcaster because, believe me, I was the most well-researched show on CNN. They never let me get away with anything. Oh, really? O'Reilly? Now, courtesy of the folks at Think Progress, they put together just a quick list of the false statements that Glenn Beck has made on his CNN headline news show. He falsely claimed America is the number two highest tax country in the world. He falsely claimed drilling in Anwar would yield 100 million barrels a day. He falsely claimed the globe was the hottest and America's temperature peaked in 1934. He has falsely claimed the subprime lenders were blackmailed into lending to the poor and minorities by community organizers. He has falsely claimed the U.S. went into Iraq to prevent World War III. He's falsely claimed that Palestine is being run now by Hezbollah. And he's falsely claimed that Fidel Castro endorsed Obama's candidacy. Yeah, they really made you work over there, Glenn. And I'm sure that that experience is going to serve you well over at Fox, where they don't research anything. Now here comes Republican Senator Jim DeMint of South Carolina. He's one of the real fighters against the Detroit package. He said that it will lead us into socialism. Hey, Jim, Wall Street already did that. And on Wednesday, DeMint claimed that there would be riots if Congress approves a bailout for Detroit. This is priceless. Let's see if we can get this clip to play.
Because they're losing their job and somebody else has been bailed out.
Hold on. Let's go back here. Try again.
We're going to have riots. There's already people rioting because they're losing their job and somebody else has been bailed out. The unfairness of it becomes more and more evident as we go along because the auto companies may be hurting.
So it's real noisy there. I have a transcript. We're going to have riots. There are already people rioting because they're losing their jobs. Now, wait a minute, Jim DeMint. There was a sit-in in Chicago at Republic Windows and Doors because the employer broke the law and shut down in violation of the rights of those employees. There have been no riots. The riots are in Greece, Senator DeMint. Not in the United States, and certainly not in Detroit. Wow. That is grossly irresponsible. I mean, it's one thing to be misinformed. It's another thing to be a U.S. senator trying to promote that kind of misinformation. And what it shows is the Republicans are not responding to Barack Obama's post-partisan call. They're digging in. They see an opportunity to bust a union here called the United Auto Workers. And that's what they're really driving at, if you'll forgive my choice of verb there. Let's go to Toledo, Ohio, where Chris is on the line. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hey, great show. I really enjoy your take, even when you're tough on Barack Obama. And I just tuned in the last hour. I haven't heard if you said anything about his health care appointments today.
Yeah,
Tom Daschle and Dr. Jean somebody.
Yep, you're right. Her name is Jean Lambrew.
That's right.
And they both were at the Center for American Progress. And I have a lot of respect for Senator Daschle, particularly on this issue. And I think he is a very good choice, if not the best choice, that Obama could have made. With his experience on the Hill, with his devotion to health care, he wrote a book about it, and he's been think-tanking it for the last couple of years. And I interviewed him last March in Washington about this very topic. And I found him to be extremely well-informed. And he is not opposed to single payer, which is what I think ultimately should be our model. But he understands that during Hillary Clinton's effort to reform health care in 1993, that became a real albatross.
Right.
And so I do think that the approach that I think they're going to take, which is to say, if you've got employer-paid health care with Blue Cross or Health Net or somebody else, you can keep it.
Right.
But the people who don't have coverage, we're going to offer single payer. Essentially, it's Medicare for all. And that's the direction I want to see us move in. And I think that Daschle really understands this complex set of issues very well. So I applaud that appointment. And from what I've been told about Professor Lambrew, she teaches at the LBJ School at UT in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
She was the driver of the Children's Health Insurance Program that is a model for expanding coverage and for federal payment of it. And so I'm encouraged by those.
Right. Yeah, I was encouraged. I actually watched Barack Obama's press conference this morning. I think Democrats and maybe even some Republicans, some smart Republicans, may have learned a lot from what happened with Hillary in 1993, 1994, and they're not going to rush into anything. You heard, if you listened to Barack Obama, he was talking about getting doctors and patients, advocates, and getting everybody into a dialogue about it. And hopefully this will be a system that works not only for the patients but for the doctors and so that it stops bankrupting our country.
Right, and Chris, it's inevitably tied, and this was something that I really appreciate that Obama said.
Right.
In the news conference as he introduced Daschle and Lambrew, he said there are people who are saying that at a time like this we can't contemplate an expensive process like health care reform. And he said, I ask a different question. How can we not.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm paraphrasing, but how can we not address this? We won't solve our economic problems if we don't deal with the high cost of health care. And what's happened under Bush is the acceleration of the transfer of that responsibility from employer to employee. And that is a tax that we don't recognize that was increased on every American working family, including the wealthiest who got the benefit of the Bush tax cuts to the greatest extent. But really, every American family has had involuntary increases in their health care insurance and health care out-of-pocket costs over the last 7 years, and that's the tax increase that Bush never acknowledges.
Right. Well, I just want to get your take. I really appreciate your perspective. You know, I think a lot of people, myself included, you know, there's a lot of hype when Obama was running. You know, everybody was kind of like, Obama, he's like this genius, he's this perfect person. I realized that, like any politician, he's going to have flaws. There are going to be things, whether it be FISA or a lot of things that you mentioned, that we're going to disagree with, but we can still, right, you know, look forward to his presidency.
Yeah, and I will be a loyal opponent of the misdeeds or the mistakes or the wrong judgments of the Obama administration, but that doesn't mean that I'm not happy about the change in government and the dismissal of the Bush wrecking crew. We'll take more of your calls, and I have lines open, so join me now. Eureka, Monterey, Boston, get on the line at 888-5-PETER-B. This is your Free Speech Zone.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Slow down. You move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last right here on KRXA 540.
What you know when I've come to work.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale with The Sheila Show, Saturdays from 3 to 5. For the next few weeks, college basketball will be airing during my show. So please, if you tune in on Saturdays and hear basketball, you can hear me on Sundays from 3 to 5. The Sheila Show, where we talk about everything and help you get through life's toughest challenges. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Cornerstone Wellness Center on Cass Street in Monterey. Remember, if you tune in and hear basketball from 3 to 5 on Saturday, I'll be on Sunday, 3 to 5. The Sheila Show.
Looking for a big city dining experience with local ma-and-pa prices and service? Look no further than Jim's American Chinese Restaurant at 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road, Prunedale, just behind Burger King. Stephen Lowe, master chef and co-owner of Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, brings to Prunedale his 35 years of experience in cosmopolitan San Francisco. Stephen serves traditional American and Chinese dishes with subtle, delicious French and Italian influences. Jim's has great meals for $10 to $15. For extraordinary food to die for and prices that won't dent your budget, make it a point to visit Jim's American Chinese Restaurant in Prunedale. Jim's is open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sundays, noon to 9. At Jim's, you can dine in or take out. And catering is also available. Call 663-4888. That's 663-4888. To make reservations at Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, call 663-4888.
¶¶
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. We have a traffic hazard on County Road G16 at Quail Lodge. An SUV is blocking the lane. Taking a look at Santa Cruz, there is a collision with an ambulance responding on Lake Boulevard at Lompico Road. In weather, tonight will be mostly clear and later we'll have patchy low clouds and fog, with lows in the lower to mid-40s. Friday will be mostly sunny with patchy fog in the morning with highs in the lower to mid-60s. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great evening and stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I remain your humble host, Peter B. Lines available in the free speech zone this hour, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. In San Francisco, it's 2 a.m.
It's 2 a.m.
And my gratitude to our late night listeners in San Francisco at Green 960. You make a real sacrifice, and the bags under your eyes are apparent to me. Thank you. And I want to thank our West Coast listeners who've been helping me through these difficult economic times. It has been very hard, but we're surviving. We're keeping the Peter B. Collins Show on the air. We've got this great new station in Boston. And so if you're able to help and you'd like to, go to my website at peterbcollins.com. And there's a link there, a tab right on the homepage called You Can Help. And we've got a new offer, a gift, if you are able to help support our program. So take a look at that. It's an exciting new book called The Najik Pheromone, and it can be yours. Just check out the description there at peterbcollins.com, the link You Can Help. And if you don't have access to the internets, and I know not everybody does, you can write me a letter. My mailing address is P.O. Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. That's Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. Always love to hear from you wherever you listen to our program. Like Carmel Valley, California. John's on the line. Hi, John.
Peter, I would say that Obama thinks, at least in his actions, that the left is expendable. And I want to remind listeners of someone else who he seems to admire tremendously who did that to his peril, and that was Bill Clinton. Back when he was started to push both GATT and NAFTA, Labor told him early in his first term they weren't going to go for that. And what they did was when he told them, okay, you can go your way and I'll go mine, they went the opposite way, and most of them didn't vote back in that midterm 94. And that, I think, more than anything else, is why the Republicans took over the Congress starting in 94.
Well, John, you make excellent points there. Number one, it was the posture of Clinton with the Democratic Leadership Council, and it was his experience that he won the presidency when, in fact, Ross Perot defeated George Bush Sr. for him. And that's how it really happened. And Clinton made a series of mistakes. The most serious, in my view, was over the course of the 8 years, he did not try to regain control of Capitol Hill. He lived with Newt Gingrich as the House Speaker, and for a good part of that time, the Republicans controlled the Senate as well. And to me, that was his biggest failing, particularly in 1996, when he had a real weak opponent in Bob Dole, and he was, you know, just marching to victory. And he did not use his money or his political clout to try to get Democratic majorities on Capitol Hill. And that's why the last 4 years of his term were just these, triangulation strategies where he could pick off subjects that he could get enough Republican support to get passed. But that's why his domestic achievements were relatively modest during the 8 years of the 90s.
Absolutely, and look what his biggest failure was, and he probably admitted quite readily, and that was the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, mm-hmm. which Jesse Helms took great pleasure in ramming right into the ground.
Yeah.
I'd ask them both Clinton, if I could, and Barack Obama, what did Clinton ever get, and what is Barack going to get by courting the right, or even the center? Because the center is not, as he seems to think, where wisdom and common sense reside. It's in Iraq.
John, you make great points, and I echo them. I'm waiting to see if this post-partisanship gambit works, but the early returns show that even David Vitter, who's come out of the shadows from his prostitution shame, is willing to take on Barack Obama. The Republicans are not buying the peace treaty. More calls coming up. Call me, 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Kirilani.
Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation, is being preempted by sports programming on Saturdays in December. We'll run encore presentations of some of your favorite shows on the Internet. So tune in.
Good Vibrations.
Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggin' Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eat, and we'll return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina, or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise.
582-9149.
House and protect your investments. Custom painting. Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate. Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Vicksburg Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Robin's Jewelry in Carmel is open every day for your holiday and gift shopping. Robin's Jewelry is one of a kind, unique, and stylish. She uses sterling silver and semi-precious stones and will customize a keepsake right there on the spot. Robin is a native Carmel artist and silversmith. She's located inside the Dowd Craft Studio at Ocean and San Carlos. Robin has a big selection of organic bling. Great jewelry that's affordable. With free engraving and gift wrapping, go to Robin's Jewelry in Carmel.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Anybody got a light?
I'm the god of hellfire, and I bring you...
The Peter B. Collins Show. We're on fire coast to coast. To dedicate that to our listeners along the Big Sur coastline. They had fires, real tragic fires all summer long. Hope you've fully recovered. Life is back to normal there along the beautiful, pristine California coastline. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. We're halfway through the free speech zone. Don't be devastated by calling at the end of the hour and left without a voice. Call me now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Joe's in Brookings, Oregon. There's an S there. Hello, Joe.
Yes. Yes. Well, ain't politics something? I mean, you got this guy trying to sell off Obama's Senate seat. And on the other hand, you got Obama and Hillary saying, why don't you guys just take your crummy old Senate seat and shove it up your you-know-what?
No, wait a minute. I haven't heard that from either of them.
In fact,
Obama said today that the Senate seat is not his, and it's not the governor's. It belongs to the people of Illinois. I thought that was quite magnanimous.
Well, yes. What else is he going to say? Sorry about being cynical, but that's just me.
Now, I can tell.
I think we can clear up this problem right away about, so-and-so governor thinks he can... use their position, get themselves favors and all that. Quite frankly, a lot of times I think these congressional seats should just stay vacant when somebody quits in the middle of the term.
Yeah.
And, you had these crooked Republicans like Trent Lott and Dennis Hastert, and they all quit in the middle of their terms. They got out of the special election to fill their terms. And a lot of times you look at these guys and gals, and why did they even leave their term?
Well, let's remember Tom DeLay. He ran for re-election, and then shortly after the primary that he won, he said, oh, I'm tired of being an exterminator. I think I'll quit.
Well, my main point is like you got these congressional terms, on the House side, they're two-year terms anyway. I mean, it's kind of stupid, ridiculous.
Well,
you've got to have a special election for that anyway.
Well, there is an issue here, Joe, that in the Constitution, it says that if there is a vacancy by death or resignation in the House, that a special election has to be called. That's the way it's called for in the Constitution. So the only way to change that is a constitutional amendment. Now, on the Senate side, it is up to the states. And this is a holdover from the I believe it was 1913 or somewhere early in the last century, where we converted to direct election.
True, but it used to be the people themselves couldn't even vote on the Senate seat.
That's right. You were rude because you interrupted me just as I was about to say that,
okay.
Joe. No, there was not direct election of senators. It was at the whim of the legislature and the governor in a specific state, and it produced a lot of bad senators. So they did move to direct election, but there is that anomaly that remains that when a senator vacates for whatever reason, the governor typically, but it does vary by state, the governor gets to replace that person until the next regular election, and then an election is held to complete the term 2 or 4 years. And that is intended to try to keep the alignment of the alternate Senate seats in each state being up.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll make up for being rude. I'm going to give you some news you might not have.
Okay.
Did you know that we are just 2 states away from having a constitutional convention? And as a matter of fact...
On what issue?
They're talking about debating the issue in the Ohio State Legislature, and they had the Libertarian Party of Ohio and some of these other groups speaking out against voting for a constitutional convention.
But what is the constitutional convention for? It has to be based on a specific proposal.
Oh, okay. Okay, you got me there. I was just listening to the show on the radio.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday, apparently, there's 32 states that have approved it, and they just need 2 more to get it, and it's being debated in the Ohio State Legislature right now.
All right, your homework, Joe, is to find out what the issue is and call me back, okay? Thanks. Because I didn't know there was a constitutional convention pending, and it can only occur around a specific proposed amendment to the Constitution. That's the way I understand it. And, Joe, I hope you're still listening because there's much more to the Rod Blagojevich pay-for-play story. And to get the story, we got to go to the PTSD, the Post-Time Sun-Dispatch. It's the only source of the exclusive reporting of R.J. Shulman. R.J., how are you today?
I'm doing great, Peter B. How are you doing?
Not too bad. It's good to talk to you again. And we can pull back the curtain here just a little bit. R.J. Shulman and I worked together in Chicago back in the 1970s when Boss Daley, the original Richard J. Daley, was running the political machine there. And I just wonder, R.J., if you have any fond memories of pay-to-play politics in Chicago. Did you ever get a parking ticket or a speeding ticket fixed by a friendly judge?
Oh, they were always fixed by a friendly judge.
Me too.
You know, you just played a request for them on the radio, and that was a payola back in those days.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was
what brought back memories was you played that song "Fire," and I remember when you used to play that on the radio.
Yeah, well,
when it was new.
Yeah, it's a power tune. But I actually was able over the air to recruit an attorney who was very well connected in traffic court. And I beat 4 tickets in a row after that for $25 a pop.
You did better than me. I was beaten 4 times by the police.
Oh, wow. I did do much better than you, RJ. Well, you've got the exclusive story about the positive side of Rod Blagojevich's run-in with the U.S. attorney, Patrick Fitzgerald. Tell us about this.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the media has basically just use this story because they just want to make a big deal. They want to sound like they can pronounce a difficult name, like, you know, Blagojevich, and sound good and bring in Obama guilt by association. But really, Wall Street loved this because what happened is it started this new trend where officials, not only in government, but top brass in the private sector, CEOs, are now selling positions to the highest bidder.
Wow.
And this has freed up money and has, put a dent in the credit crisis.
Holy cow. And you quote Worley Buchholz of Goldman Sachs, "More top brass has been able to get money into their hands, which has restarted the trickle-down theory of economics, which was such a success for President Reagan. As bribe money starts its downward dribble, dozens of new jobs will be created." This is brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, as a matter of fact, it's gotten to the point where, Henry Paulson is taking a look at coming up with a way to legalize everything that we thought of before as being taboo. So they're going to legalize prostitution and gambling, selling children into slavery, any way to get cash flowing again is going to help this economy.
Now, isn't this going to really piss off Elliot Spitzer?
Well, it's just a matter of timing. Like Lehman Brothers were on the wrong side, you know, the wrong time,
yeah.
And they went down. So it's just, it's all timing. And so this is just something that is kind of a surprise. Plus, a surprise shot in the arm to the economy.
Now, RJ...
The media's just, you know, ignoring it like they do all the big stories.
RJ, I'm always impressed with your work. You're the guy who always got the verbatim quotes from Bush when he mangled the language and other people would clean it up for him. You must have called in a favor from one of your old Chicago police friends or somebody, because you got to Blago. You got a quote from Rod Blagojevich. Quote, I am no hero, because I can't take credit for being some kind of financial genius. I saw a vacant Senate seat. My palms began to sweat, and I just said, show me the money. Other governors have taken bribes for anything from assistant captain of state police to chief dog catcher. Pardon me. In the private sector, CEOs have sold all kinds of positions to the highest bidder, from assistant middle manager of central planning to dumpster manager. And then you got a quote from Sarah Palin, too. What'd she say?
Yeah, she said, by golly, I sure wish that Ted Stevens guy won that re-election and then gone to jail because I could have gotten a pretty penny senatorial shoot some rich guy. But I probably would have appointed myself because baby needs a new pair of shoes, you know, and I don't mean trick.
Wow. That is amazing. Now, RJ, you have another exclusive at the Post-Time Sun-Dispatch, and let me give the web address for people who've never been there. All you do is enter PTSD, the number one, .blogspot.com. That's PTSD. It stands for Post-Time Sun-Dispatch. The number one, .blogspot.com. And you have something that I have been looking for over a year. It's a photograph of Barack Obama with a cigarette. Now, is this real or Photoshop, RJ?
This is a real picture. This was some time ago. He has stopped smoking. But as you know, even on national TV, when asked by Tom Brokaw about this habit, he would not commit that he would not take a smoke now and again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it is amazing that across the campaign trail for all that time, nobody came up with a photograph of him smoking. You've got the only one I've ever seen. So this is remarkable. And now this gets a little distasteful, kind of like, you know, yesterday's ashtray with a bunch of butts in it. You have a quote from Michael Savage? Come on, RJ.
Yeah, well, just to give you a little heads up on this story, there are a bunch of people who are trying to say that because he smokes, he should be disqualified from being president, mainly because the White House is now a non-smoking building, and if he cannot live in the White House, then he cannot be president. But there are some people who are very, very upset that this habit will be very detrimental to the United States, and Michael Savage is one of them.
Now, wait a minute. The Supreme Court took a look at the birth certificate issue, but I didn't think it had anything to do with Obama and cigarettes.
No, they're going to look at the cigarette issue. They've given up on the birth certificate issue.
Oh, man, you're way ahead of me. So go ahead. The Savage.
Well, anyway, what Michael Savage, this is kind of distasteful, so I'll read it and try to, try not to lose lunch here, but a quote, what is so disturbing about all this is that this affirmative action, red diaper doper, immigrant-loving monster of a presidential imposter, and I'm being kind here, is taking over the country in a bloodless coup, puffing like the Great Smoky Mountains, blowing the toxic waste in our faces like we are some kind of moron. The nerve of this man. But we all know nicotine is the gateway drug to crack cocaine. I tell you this, people, and mark my words, this man will sell our nuclear secrets to Iran for the next fix.
Wow. How low can, well, we just learned, how low can Michael Savage go? It I can never be more surprised. Now, we got time for one more, and Bill O'Reilly is calling in reinforcements for the war on Christmas?
Yeah, he's calling for a surge. He's very upset. And it's not in the article, but he has today called for a moment of silence for the dearly departed that we've lost in the war on Christmas. We've lost Mervyn's, Linens and Things, and the Western Warehouse, to name but a few, died in this war on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And he definitely wants to rally, as he calls them, the good Christian soldiers to make sure that this war on Christmas is... that we're victorious and the war on Christmas failed.
And your quote from Bill O'Reilly, he admitted he's especially troubled by homegrown insurgents who are trying to convince the American people there's a recession going on and they shouldn't spend as much this Christmas. McCain got it right, O'Reilly said. The fundamentals of the economy are sound, and losing your job, your house, and self-respect is no reason not to go whole hog and whip out your wallet to show Jesus, Joseph, and Mary just how much you believe in the Christmas spirit. Well, RJ, Merry Christmas to you.
Well, Merry Christmas to you too, Peter B.
All right. Great to have your report today. People can read all about it at ptsd1.blogspot.com. There goes RJ Shulman. We'll take a break and return. You got a comment? I want to hear it. The Free Speech Zone continues here on the Peter B. Collins Show. 888-5 Peter B. You're listening to the news, KRXA 540.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. In Monterey, on the northbound 1, just north of Moonross Avenue, we have a two-vehicle collision with no details. On Highway 156, just east of South Castroville Boulevard, there is a small dog running across the highway. Please use caution there. And on County Road G16 at Quail Lodge, there is an SUV blocking the lane. Taking a look at Santa Cruz, on Lake Boulevard at Lompico Road, we have a no-injury collision. CHP is on the scene there. In weather, Monterey is currently 52 degrees, Salinas is 58 degrees, and Santa Cruz is 60 degrees. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great evening, everyone, and stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm nobody. Who are you? Are you nobody, too? Then there's a pair of us. Don't tell. They'd advertise. You know. That's Emily Dickinson, and I'm Professor Barbara Mossberg, host of KRXA's Poetry Slowdown, inviting you to join me in celebrating the birthday of the most famous nobody in history, the Carl Cherry Center of the Arts in Carmel, 4th and Guadalupe, this Saturday, December 13th at 4 o'clock. That's 4 o'clock this Saturday by the fireplace. We'll have gingerbread and sherry, and we'll sing birthday songs. I'll take you to her kitchen and upstairs where she wrote her immortal lyrics. Come sing with me this Saturday at the Cherry Center in Carmel.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com. And think for yourself.
Just when you thought it was gone forever, Tomorrow Matters, Talk Radio for a Better Tomorrow, returns to KRXA 540 AM on Sunday mornings, 10 to 11 AM, starting January 4th. Deborah and Spencer Lindsay will dazzle you with the solutions to the environmental and social problems of today for a better world tomorrow. We'll see you Sunday, January 4th at 10 AM, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. At our convention, Miami and L.A., a campaign across the USA. Let me make this perfectly clear. Let me stick it in your ear. They said, hey, babe, make a date with the Watergate. My fellow Americans, I said, hey, honey, make a date with the Watergate. And Martha Mitchell says, do, 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 do.
Remember Nixon, Tricky Dick, and Watergate? And remember his efforts to rehabilitate himself after he resigned rather than face impeachment?
Never, ever give it away. Everybody has to pay and pay. Let me make this perfectly clear. It can't be denied. My fellow Americans, I've got nothing to hide. Say, he did great. I said, hey, Sparrow, make a date with the Watergate. I said, hey, Joe, make a date with the Watergate. Yeah. Martha Mitchell.
Do, do,
say,
do, 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 do,
do.
That's my old radio buddy John Records Landecker, circa 1975, impersonating Tricky Dick and Lou Reed all at the same time. Gary Chu joins us now. He's the official film reviewer of the Peter B. Collins Show, and he has seen Frost Nixon, which opens pretty wide this weekend, as I understand it. Hi, Gary.
Peter B., glad to be with you again today. I'm so glad that you played that opening there with somebody doing an impersonation of Nixon, because I was actually practicing my Nixon voice before the phone rang when you gave me a call.
Yeah.
can I do my one line of Nixon real quick?
I want to hear it.
Okay. Well, when the president does it, that means that it's not illegal.
Pretty good.
Well,
a little more jowl in there.
Yeah. Frank Langella does a heck of a job with it.
Does he?
So good that he even got nominated for a Golden Globe today for the role.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very happy to see that. The movie is pretty good. I think, let's see, when I saw it back in around, let's see, about Thanksgiving-ish. And the film where I saw it, the screening, was had some audio problems.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't able to hear just everything too well. But, you know, the film is really, really brought back the Watergate for me. You know, I remember when Watergate was going on, I was painting my flat. And every time I think about Watergate, I can see the paintbrush and smell the paint with the memories and the impressions of Watergate.
Well, Gary, I rode Watergate to the top of the radio ratings in Chicago. It was wild. I was 20 or 21. And the management, the Suits, had given this kid a talk show because they didn't care about it. It was on late at night, and it was part of the FCC obligation. They just said, do it and don't get in trouble. And I was able to become an expert on the daily developments in Watergate because I went on the air at 1 in the morning, and at midnight, the next day's newspapers were available at the Sun-Times and the Tribune right near the radio station. So I go on the air and read tomorrow's paper, and everybody said, man, you're so well-informed. You always know. You always know what's going on.
You mean you didn't give any credit anywhere?
I just did.
Well, never mow it too soon, I guess.
but the episode where after the disgraceful departure and Nixon's trying to rebuild his image, and this deal with David Frost was pretty sordid at the time. This was really the advent of checkbook journalism.
Yes. There's a scene in the film where Mr. Frost writes a check, a big one, to Mr. Nixon, and gives it to him actually in the house in Beverly Hills where they do the interview.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to go do it in San Clemente, and then something happened, so they did it in a supporter of Nixon's home in Beverly Hills. And that's where all the scenes where they're videotaping the interviews takes place.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty good movie, pretty good movie. He really sort of becomes the ghost of Nixon in the movie. In fact, it's kind of creepy because it seems like Nixon has come back.
Mm.
Langella is physically a little bigger than Nixon, but he's got everything else down pretty good.
Well, Nixon was creepy in life.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. And when he comes back and you think he's actually there in a brand new movie, it creeps you out even more.
Mm-hmm. On the Chew scale of 1 to 10, where would you put this, Gary?
I would put it at about, I would put it about 7 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good. It's not fantastic, but it's pretty good. Patty McCormick, remember her from The Bad Seed years and years ago? She plays Pat Nixon in it.
Uh-huh.
Wanted to notice. I don't think she has any speaking lines, but anyway, it's a pretty good movie. And I need to say that Michael Sheen, who plays Frost, for me is a little bit too cherub-like.
Mm.
He looks just a little bit too cartoonish almost, and he doesn't seem to be quite as edgy and a little bit astute, as astute as the real David Frost does to me. Yeah. But, I mean, he's a reasonable facsimile, but Langella just kind of outshines everybody. And the movie has got really, they're getting weird around here at Oscar time. They said it was going to open tomorrow, the 12th, here, and then I noticed that some places they say it's going to open the 26th, and other places it's already open, so I can't. Oh. And there are also reviews up online with it, so I'm not sure what's going on.
All right, well, we'll have to check our local listings. Gary Chu, thanks for your review. Always great to talk with you.
Thank you, Peter B. Bye.
All right, real good. And we got the final word from Billy in Capitola today. What's up, Billy?
Well, you know that fellow that was on before, the film reviewer?
Yes, R.J. Schulman.
Yeah, I've unmasked him.
Really?
Yeah, what are the papers that he works for?
It's the Post-Time Sun-Dispatch.
PTSD, in other words, post-traumatic stress disorder. You're just bringing us one of them crazy soldier guys.
Hmm.
See? You never get pick that up. I knew there was something fishy.
Can you put the mask back on, please?
Okay.
Thank you, Billy. Always good to hear from you. Thank you. Thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show today, those of you who did. And if you didn't, shame on you. Do it tomorrow.
Happy trails to you. Until we meet again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together?
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. There's word of progress on Capitol Hill. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says Democrats and Republicans have reached tentative agreement on $14 billion in loan guarantees for automakers. But Banking Committee Chairman Chris Dodd says they aren't there yet.
At this point, the work goes on. And I still remain hopeful we can reach an agreement that will be satisfactory to most of our colleagues.
Sounds like it's a matter of finalizing the language of a bill.
The staffs are working to make sure we understand what we think we've agreed to at this point. Obviously, nothing's agreed to till everything is agreed to.
There have been negotiations all day involving auto executives, union leaders, key lawmakers, and the White House. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, the number two Democrat, says all issues are still on the table. It's become a vicious cycle. People lose their jobs and stop spending, so more people lose their jobs. Last week, according to the Labor Department, there were 573,000 new claims for unemployment benefits. More from CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus.
We're already seeing a big pullback in consumer spending, and that is not reflecting the most recent job cuts that were announced. So we're certainly expecting things to get even worse on the retail front in the coming months as companies continue to slash jobs.
Bank of America announced today that as it absorbs Merrill Lynch, it will eliminate up to 35,000 jobs over the next 3 years. The Fed says the level of household debt is down for the first time on record. David Weiss, chief economist at Standard & Poor's, says it's a good sign.
We're in hock up to our little eyeballs, and frankly, we've got to start getting our head more above water. That does require saving more, spending less, and borrowing less.
A former chairman of the NASDAQ stock market was arrested in New York today, charged with securities fraud. Bernard Madoff founded the investment firm that bears his name, but prosecutors say he admits it was a giant Ponzi scheme that cheated clients out of at least $50 billion. Yesterday, according to the Wall Street Journal, Madoff tried to distribute bonuses, telling employees he had a couple of hundred million left and wanted to give it out before turning himself in. The skeletal remains of a child were discovered today in a wooded lot less than half a mile from where Kaylee Anthony lived. The three-year-old has been missing since early summer. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports.
With TV choppers hovering overhead, a white van took away the remains from a wooded area.
And they've been taken by to the medical examiner's office by the medical examiner.
Orange County Sheriff Kevin Berry says they'll go to the FBI lab in Quantico.